The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence, and nobody can hang with my stuff. You know, I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, driver! Drive me!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy! You got payback coming!
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah!
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Thursday, our final PFW in Progress of the week. Getting ready for the New Orleans Saints, a late afternoon fest. Fet? F-E-T? I don't know. Anyway, it's a late afternoon game here at Gillette Stadium. And, boy, Tom Brady doesn't have a good record against Drew Brees. Did you see that? 0-3. Yep.
Not only that, 0-3.
Yeah.
So bad he said it twice.
We got to make up for that here. Patriots have to win this game. Is this a must-win? No, of course
no,
it's
God.
Not. But
I love it. Is this a must-win? No, of course
you'll
it's
never
not.
Make it in sensationalistic
but
journalism.
But I think for the fans, it might be.
Certainly for those who we had, John Rook wanted to move on from Brady, and I don't know if
right.
you read one of the emails, said, then put me in the camp and move on from Belichick.
Yeah, our fickle fans
I did read that.
Are seem to be extra fickle this year. And losing this game could have them turning off their TV sets.
Yeah, but why?
That's a good question.
So you go to 4-2, and then you beat the Jets the next week, and you're 5-2, and I just don't we knew these three games were going to be difficult. Most people said they're going to be 1-2 or 2-1 at best.
It's funny.
It's all there.
It's funny, though, when you look at it from afar and before the season starts, and they'll probably lose that game. But then when you get into it, it's different. It's different. It's like, okay, we should win.
Part of it's the ugliness.
Well, I do agree
I'm
with that.
I'm not sure
too.
I knew they were just going to score 6 points.
Yeah. I mean, if they had lost, 27-20. I don't think people would be sort of as upset about it as they were.
Right.
Maybe 24-17. To score 6 points, it's like a waste because they should have won the game. They had all kinds of opportunities to play better, and they just didn't.
The big thing about it is I think the 6 points represents, the wrong direction of a trend that had already started. We were worried about the offense, and it's not getting better.
And people were excited about the Atlanta game.
Right.
And then, can I build on that? And they didn't.
Right. You have to give the Bengals some credit. They do have a good defense. But, 6 points. Obviously, it's the last time the Patriots haven't scored a touchdown in over 52 games. That's a long stretch of games in the NFL.
Yep.
Fewest points since
2006 when they got shut out by Miami.
Which I was pleasantly surprised to see how many people did exactly what you did and did put the same thing. The fewest points since 2006 and didn't
right.
just necessarily
regurgitate what was put in front of them.
Right.
Right. What was
Andy and I having a separate side conversation, sorry.
This is an editing conversation.
Oh, it's an editing conversation.
Transpired the other night.
That was a shot at somebody. I'm not sure
yeah,
who.
But we're not, yeah, but we're not willing to necessarily.
We don't need to go there.
Okay. But I think that fans have to consider just the health of the team. And I know that, I was talking with Brian Morey today.
I'm sorry.
And he was saying.
All closed today?
He was saying how there was a time where This team would never, ever
it's unbelievable.
Talk about.
He comes from my office. We talk. He goes into Fred. He regurgitates the whole thing.
He said, you know, there was a time where this team would never, ever talk about who's hurt. It was always next man up. You never talked about the guy who wasn't there. And, you know, he feels that this year they are doing that. And certainly Brady has. There's no doubt. He has talked about when guys get back.
Every week.
Amendola mentioned it yesterday, too.
Yeah, but see, I don't
see, I didn't
him.
Hear that. And
he did.
That's kind of why I brought it up. You know, I was kind of looking for other guys who have said that. And so what did Amendola say?
He just kind of agreed that, you know, we're trying to get healthy when we be back. That's the idea. We're out there. We're blah, blah, blah. But I don't blame him because I think he just takes his cues. I'm assuming he hears Tom Brady or reads that Tom Brady says that. If he read Tom Brady saying, we don't worry about injuries around here. We, you know, we just look for the next man to step up and do his job. I think Amendola would have regurgitated the same thing.
So,
I don't put it on him.
Is that a change of this team? Is that a change of the culture? Or is it just Tom Brady leading the way? And because he said it, that changes it?
Well, he hasn't stopped saying it. So it's not like, you know, this has happened at least, I would say, 3 straight weeks that he has brought this up. Bill would have gotten wind of it. And if he wanted to nip it in the bud, he could have. Right? So Bill didn't stop him from saying it again. So it's not just Brady. They know he's saying it, I would assume.
Yep. What do you make of that?
I don't like it.
No?
It's true. I agree with him 100%. It's bad luck. It's unfortunate and everything, but it's not what they do.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things that are true that they don't do. So why are we doing this one that's true, but you never
did? I'll give you an example, Freddie. You know, you brought up the Drew Brees success with Brady. Well, one of those games that stands out to me was the second one of the three games that they won. It was here in Foxborough, I want to say in 05. It's a blowout. It was like 41-17, something like that. Patriots were missing a bunch of guys. And poor Marty Schottenheimer had the audacity to say, yeah, let's couch this win a little bit. They were dealing with a lot of missing personnel over there. That's a good football team. I'm paraphrasing.
Right.
That's a good football team that was missing a lot of guys today, something like that. And not only they're not allowed. The Patriots were not allowed to talk about injuries, but evidently Marty Schottenheimer wasn't allowed to make excuses for that because he got his doors blown off by Bill and Tom telling him not to talk about his team. So now you fast forward, almost 10 years later, and it seems like every week we expected to have Rob be a big part of the offense, and he hasn't played all year. We expected Danny he hasn't played all year. We expected Chain, he hasn't played all year. Not to mention the line about at some point, we have to make plays that NFL players make. Those are very un-Tom Brady-like comments to me.
Is it that, in the past, maybe they had guys who could step up, and now he feels they just don't?
Well, I don't care. You don't say that.
Tell
the guys they
don't.
That's the issue in a nutshell. The next man up is easy to say when you have a next man who's capable of stepping up.
Yeah, but they didn't always know that the next man was definitely capable of stepping up. It was the way they did it. They didn't deviate from that, regardless of who the person was.
No, and they didn't start off the year saying stuff about all the injuries either.
No, I know.
Once they realized that the next man's not stepping up, that's when the injuries comments started to happen.
I don't care for it.
I don't either.
Oh, I don't either. I'm not making any excuses. I don't care for it.
If we're going to deviate from that, then I want Bill to tell me exactly everything about every injury and deviate from that philosophy and just let's just go right on the road and check them off. Do things differently.
Maybe start telling us the game plan?
Sure. Maybe not try to start slow, Andy, or whatever he always says. Believe it or not, we always try to start fast.
We had the ball in a one-score game. What are you looking for?
So it's just interesting to note.
But it starts with Brady. I don't blame Amendola. And if it starts with Brady, the next step is Belichick. Even if Brady said it once and Bill didn't care for it, I don't think Brady would say it a second time and a third time.
See, I haven't heard anyone besides Brady, and I know you said Amendola yesterday. Besides that, I haven't heard any other guys say this, right? Mankins has complained overall about the offense, that we just need to play better, but it was a we and not.
Oh, yeah, it was execution.
Yeah,
it was letting them down. It was that. Yeah, Amendola and Brady are the only two that I've noticed.
Right. And you don't hear from the defense, obviously, because they would never talk about the offense. You just don't do that.
Plus, who else is going to say
it? And the defense has played pretty well.
I mean, Mankins would be the next candidate.
Yeah.
Nobody talks on offense. Yeah. They're either new, Tompkins isn't going to say it.
New guys or
Dobson
guys
isn't going to say it. Mulligan's not going to say it. Hooman's not going to say it. Solder doesn't say anything. Volmer doesn't say anything. Conley and Roy, that's it. Maybe Ridley. Maybe Ridley would let it slip.
Right.
But there's nobody that talks on offense.
Yeah, I do find it, a little interesting, but you know, it is one of those things, Fred. You started off the whole, you know, is it a must win? And I know that you said it wasn't, and it's not. But in terms of the fans, I think you're always going to have, and I don't want to branch off into the whole semantic thing that you and I always get into, but you're always going to have guys that they're waiting to pounce. Andy mentioned the guy who wrote in today, put me in the, you know, is it time for Belichick to go camp? I mean, I'm sorry, I'm not dismissing the guy as having no valid points or anything like that, but I'm sorry, if you honestly look at the New England Patriots and think it's time for Tom Brady to go or it's time for Bill Belichick to go, to paraphrase my rant from yesterday, you don't watch NFL games. You don't know what a true bad quarterback and bad coach is. If you think that what you're getting here in New England is bad and it's time to make a change, then you don't watch a lot of games.
Right.
You don't see
playing the role you of
you didn't see
Eric
Marvin
Scalabino.
Lewis. You didn't see Marvin Lewis hand the ball off three times into the smack dab middle of the line when he's trying to run out the clock at the end of the first half. Instead of trying to do something to get a first down to prevent giving away 3 points. That's what he did. He gave away 3 points
right.
with stupidity.
Yep.
And that's what bad coaches do. You want if you want one of those guys, you can have one of those guys. And just the same way, if they lose this game this week, they'll be 4-2. And yeah, there'll be some concern. But you'll have that vocal minority again saying, we got to make changes. We got to do this. We got to do that. It's time for Mallett. You know, we got to make changes. You got to shake it up, Andy. The offense isn't moving the ball. Got to shake it up. There'll be guys like that that yell and scream, but that's not going to be, to me, a cross-section of what the people that are actually paying attention, our listeners that write in and call in every day, they're not going to be saying that. Not many of them anyway. Maybe a couple here or there,
hosts?
But not a lot.
If Gronk comes...
you know, John Rook might feel that way. We'll address that in the crossover
again. If Gronk comes back... Is it a must play well for the offense in this game?
No.
No, I mean, I'd like to see them play better, but I'm not expecting. I know Andy made the whole. Yeah, he's going to have 8 for 100 and whatever yesterday.
130 but, and 2.
I mean, if that happens, great. But if it doesn't, does that mean he's not going to be that guy in the future?
Well, I'm talking about the offense as a whole. Is it a must play well for the offense?
No.
Okay.
There's no must.
It's week 6. They're 4-1.
They must not allow Tom Brady to get knocked out for the season. That is the only must on Sunday.
I kind of agree with them. What else is a must about that?
Well, if they
I want to see them play better. I want to see improvement.
10 points or less.
They lose and they move on to next week at 4-2.
Does that mean they
and they
can't...
play the Jets and they're 5-2 and they're still in first place in their division and they're still well on their track to go to the playoffs. I mean, what's the must about it? Must what? Must stop idiot callers from calling idiot talk radio? Must not, you know, give idiot Felder something to say?
Giving hope to the fans.
But see, that's
what
I
does that even mean?
Like, I mean, we're all fans.
Morale.
But
morale.
But
we're moron.
We're analytical of this team. You know, we're here. We try to analyze and criticize when we feel it. But we're all fans. I mean, why would you feel any differently? I mean, they're going to get – haven't you seen enough of this movie to know that the Patriots are probably going to be pretty good at the end of
Here's
it?
Here's Paul back. It always works out for Belichick and Brady.
It's not – no, but you're mistaking that, like, it always works out
mistaking.
For – yeah. You
that mistaking or mistaking?
But I'm – by saying that it always works out, you're making it sound like they don't deserve to win these games. Something will just happen and they'll win it. No, what I'm saying is I've seen this act before, and I know that they're too professional – to allow it to unravel. That's why I laugh at the 7-9s. Could you ever see this team going 7-9
yeah.
with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady?
Oh, no.
That's why I laugh at that stuff. Not because I'm Joe Superfan Sunshine.com that I get made fun of for. It's because I have too much respect for, you love when I say this, the program that they put together here. And you do too. You know that they would never finish 7-9.
And I don't. And you brought up the comparison of idiot coaches or well, you only have to go down I-95 to New York City where Eli Manning couldn't suck anymore and they're 0-5 and Tom Coughlin, while he has the two rings, has been nowhere near as consistent as Bill Belichick over the years to look at a team. I mean, should that be blown up? Do they need to get rid of the coach and quarterback in New York? Do they have radio hosts on Giants.com saying maybe it's time to move on from Eli Manning and Bill Belichick?
If that kind of stuff was
there's
happening,
a lot more reason to do it there than here.
But if that kind of stuff was happening, Fred, like what's happening with the Giants, forget the 0-5, but look at how they're going 0-5. Like, Andy, they're turning a ball. I think they have 20 turnovers in 5 games.
Eli's got 13 picks. Eli is elite.
If you were to turn the ball over 3 times, and then you follow it up with 4 more the next week, and then you follow that up with 3 more the following week, Now it might be time to say, whoa, what's going on here?
Right.
You know, why can we not? Right now we're not moving the ball. They're turning it over a little bit more than they normally do, I would say, through the first five games. But this is also a team that doesn't turn it over ever.
I was going to say, it's not really a fair comparison.
Right. So just because you see a couple of turnovers, and I really throw away the last one.
Mm. Excuse me.
Again, right into the mic. Let it ride. the last one on the last play of the game, you know, that's a turnover, technically, but
right.
They really only turned it over once in the game last week. I don't think turnovers have been a huge problem. They have turned it over a few times more often than they normally do. But
I would actually argue probably less often than I expected. I thought there would be – it hasn't looked good, but I thought,
more
deflections, the receiver, the this, the that. Right.
Those are the things that always work out for the Patriots.
You know,
they fall down.
The Sudfeld one was ugly one, where he goes down and deflects. I thought there might be a few more of those with Tompkins and Dobson and Sudfeld. Well, not anymore.
And it was amazing that Brady was able to recover that fumble at midfield.
Oh, yeah.
He was getting sacked. The ball came out. He was going down, and as he was going down, the ball bounced back up to him.
But that falls in line with the it always works out for Tom Brady. That's how he's been for 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
He always seems to land on the ball. I mean, the guy fumbles and never loses it.
Well, I always say that it's amazing how little he fumbles. Like, he gets hit from the blind side a lot, but doesn't lose the ball. He also does have that incredible ability to have the Patriots recover the fumble when he fumbles.
Did you think anybody was actually going to spin this as a must anything? Clearly you had that topic in your mind as the host.
No, and you didn't think it because you immediately said no.
But did you think anybody would like take the bait, or maybe when Eric gets here?
Well, not. I knew you guys wouldn't, but I wanted to bring the topic up to see what our listeners thought as well. And Ryan writes in, he says, here's how I view it, not a must win, but a must perform.
And what's perform mean?
Well, that got to me. My second one, is it a must play well for the offense?
Well, what is play? I mean, do you have like a number, a barometer in your head? They have to score 17
competitive,
points, 20
yeah.
points.
Yeah,
or,
I mean,
if you're going against the number four scoring defense in the National Football League.
If you lost the game, okay, what would make you feel better? If you lost, say, 31-24, or if you lost another rock fight, 17-13.
Rock fight.
That would make you feel better.
Yes.
That would make me feel better.
Because it would be another step towards a defense just legit.
Right.
So maybe I can beat the Colts. I mean, Broncos.
That would tell me.
Maybe I can hold them down, and if the offense is better, then.
That would tell me I have one half of this licked.
Yeah.
Or I am taking steps toward getting one half of this licked.
45-38, and I say, uh-oh.
Well, now my defense isn't as good as I was hoping, and my offense,
right.
You know.
Yeah, give me 1 week. We'll see if they can do it
flash.
Again.
I agree with that.
Normally I don't care, but yeah. I think in this particular case, I would be happier to see the defense perform well against the good
offense. Going into this game and willing to use it as a barometer to start to see how good the defense is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I agree.
I think now we can start to make some conclusions after this game.
But it's also, I think it's unique. I think the Jimmy Graham, Darren Sproles is unique. I don't think there's a lot of teams where they have that type of matchups.
It's a tough, and you would say in the past, that combination would be tough for the Patriots defense.
Yep.
You know, so we'll
and
see.
I might say it on Monday.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But I think after this game, we can start to make some judgments about the defense. But the offense is still a work in progress.
Okay. This is a next step defensive type question, but we've talked about if they go nickel. Which I think there's a good chance they could go nickel. Certainly if they match up Tlaib, I think they'll go nickel.
By the way, I think they heard us talking about Jamie Collins yesterday because he wasn't at practice.
He wasn't?
Or he was limited or something. He may not have practiced,
Collins. No, Buchanan.
No.
Michael Buchanan didn't practice yesterday, but it was not injury related.
Right, like I guessed.
I'm talking about this morning.
Oh, today.
Today.
Oh, okay.
Why did you guess that?
I don't know. I just didn't think there was any reason why he shouldn't. Wendell had a concussion, by the way. Did he get it from the Brady's face mask when he got pushed into him? I thought that was actually interesting, though.
Interesting that he had a concussion.
And on the day when we're taking, you know, should Marcus Cannon come and move Conley into? You might have to if there's really a concussion, and could it be a convenient?
I was just going to say.
But I don't think concussions are ones you make up.
Right. It'd
be like a hamstring or a shoulder, right? If you just wanted to, like, kind of fiddle with things, I don't think you'd make up concussion. But defensively, talking about the matchup, and we've talked about with Wilfork out, when they go nickel, they had been keeping the linemen in and taking spikes off in their nickel. We said maybe they won't do that, so maybe they take Villano or Jones. Villano, because Jones seems like maybe he's the better pass rusher. Paul has him as the next Geno Atkins, apparently.
Coming in the next PFW. Maybe.
So if you do that, does that give us the opportunity? Do you assume Spikes is going to be a pass rusher? Because you're going to rush four. I mean, somebody's coming. So is Spikes the pass rusher on the inside? Or is this an opportunity for maybe Hightower to slide down and give us some of that sub-rushing ability that we've been sold? My guess is Spikes would be coming up the middle. You'd see a lot of those A-gap stunts that get Gruden and everybody so excited. But I was just thinking about that. Which one's going to come? And it because we were ripping Hightower a little bit yesterday as a non-playmaker, maybe this is the week he gets a chance. Or maybe Jamie Collins plays. And then if Collins plays, maybe this is the week Hightower rushes and Spikes comes off for Collins.
Well, that's what well, that's we were talking about yesterday. Like, you know, could you stick with Spikes a little bit? I mean, what's the difference? I mean, is he that much of a liability?
Yeah.
I don't think he is.
Do you remember that, was that the Jets a couple of years ago? When the pass was being thrown over him and he was running forward?
I remember like, a lot of plays like that with Hightower.
See, I don't. I remember Hightower chasing.
Yes.
Spikes was going, the ball was going behind him and he was still running towards the line of scrimmage. Like, he's pretty bad, I think. In pass coverage, despite the great play he made on the goal line the other day.
That's why we were talking about Collins yesterday, and I think it's notable that he wasn't at practice this morning.
And I don't know what Jamie Collins is. I'm not willing to anoint Jamie
Collins. That's the difference,
is
I don't know. I mean, I've watched Hightower and Spikes play a little bit. I have some idea of what they can do. I don't really know what Collins can do.
I just think it's that matchup, the linebacker level of the defense is going to be very interesting this week against Graham, against... Yep.
Because I don't think you're going to be able to go. You can't go base against that team.
No,
right?
Certainly you definitely can't go base if you're planning on matching up Aqib Talib with Jimmy Graham. Because now you're a corner short. That doesn't work.
Although I did see Lance Moore, perpetually injured Lance Moore is out too. Well, he's not practicing anyway. So that takes away one option. You know, because really it's just Colston. And then some other guys, you know, I know Stills has done some stuff. Stills, right?
Yeah. But they are NFL receivers.
Oh, yeah.
As opposed to tight end or running back.
Colston's very good. Colston's a great slot guy.
If you have two receivers on the field, I'm talking about literally, if you start matching up down the ladder, okay, I used a corner Talib on Jimmy Graham, and okay, Kyle Arrington or Dennard is covering Colston. Who's covering another receiver, Kenny Stills or whoever it may be? And you just the trickle-down effect, I wonder how that all unfolds.
Joel says, I don't feel this is a must-win game, but I do feel like they need to play better. I don't expect or hope to see two bad weeks in a row, especially if Gronk is back. The two things I want to see are Brady getting sacked and hit less, and Gronk laying out for a ball, bouncing off the ground, coming up okay. Even though we are 2.5-point favorites, I don't think we'll win this game, but all things considered, I will be happy at 4-2. We still have a cushy division, so I have no doubts we'll be in the playoffs.
Well, at 4-2, your cushy division could be tied for the
right.
They're 3-2 right now. So right. If you lose,
and Miami's off this week, I think. Is that right?
Jets are playing.
Jets play Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Yeah,
that's a winnable game.
Yeah.
So you could be cushy, but tied atop the division, and then battling that team.
And I don't look at playing Miami cushy. I think that's going to be a tough game.
Well, until this offense gets fixed, there are no cushy games.
Oh, I think they've been fixed already. You know what I'm saying?
Because if you
castrated.
Because the reason why it's been so cushy is because you've had an ability to put 30 on everybody. And right now you don't have that ability.
Right.
So if you're in the 20s,
that would take 10 field goals.
But you know what I'm saying? If you're 20, by definition the other team's in the game. I mean, the Tampa Bay game was competitive for a long time. And Tampa Bay could not score.
Well, it depends on the defense, too. If you get back to Paul Perillo circa 2004 defenses where it's 3-0, you go, game, set, match, we got our lead that we need.
Right. Yeah.
But still.
But in reality, those
you're
games.
You're a play away.
Yeah. You're always a play away.
Special teams. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
All right. 508-298-0398, 855-PATS-500.
Who's more irreplaceable right now?
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
Brady or Talib?
Who's more irreplaceable? I still say Brady.
Brady.
I do too, but you know, you're coming off a game where you scored 6 points.
And we used to have a lot of these conversations, and we used to say, other than Brady. Now I think you can
Can a backup quarterback score 10 points, and your defense is the number two scoring defense in the NFL with Talib?
Well, was last week an anomaly? You know, 6 points, not scoring a touchdown. If it isn't,
Or 13.
It's going to be a long season. 13
or 23. Yeah. 23.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Most interesting Patriots fan in the world. How you doing, James?
Who's more replaceable, Tlaib or Bill the GM?
Bill the GM really starting to take some of this heat now, huh?
No, I don't blame him for anything.
one thing it just sounded good.
A slight aside, I always used to think Bill was wonderful, you know, not answering any questions and things like that. I used to be such a fanboy of that. But I was in the car the other day waiting for Allison, and they had John Farrell being interviewed pre-game on WEEI. I'm not a big Red Sox fan, but it was actually so fascinating listening to him talk in detail about his decisions and why he did things. And I've totally gone 360. I think Bill's a bit of a tool now. I mean, he was talking about, I think it was game three when Uehara had the home run hit off him. And they asked him what he was actually talking about at that moment. He was sort of thinking, oh, I'll put Uehara in for another inning, and then I've got to rest him for tomorrow. And then a home run gets hit off him, and I'm like, oh, I wasn't expecting that. And it was actually really interesting to hear him talk about that. But that's an aside.
And by the way, he's good, and he's favored to win the World Series. It's not like he talks like that, and they suck, they can't win.
And that was
no, it is a difference.
That was a pre-game before a playoff game against the same team.
It was really remarkable, that interview. And I know most of those interviews are pretty benign, like Belichick's, but that was interesting, James. He had done something in the previous game in terms of not pinch hitting for a left-handed batter against the lefty. The next night, he did the exact opposite and admitted
that,
you know, I thought about it, and we decided to change.
I listen to everyone now because it's just so interesting to finally, you know, I didn't know really what I was missing. Yeah, Claude Julien says, you know, we got to move our feet and, you know, forecheck, and nobody else really talks about it. And I can't bear listening to the new guy talk about Rondo at the Celtics. That's awful. But yeah, I think I actually miss that now, and I think I'm really sort of turned 360 on this. As a fan, you actually want Bill talking about the game. I've gone over that. I'm totally over. You know, he doesn't want to reveal stuff. Teams can prepare for it and stuff like that. It's rubbish.
Well, it's also mostly in losing efforts. And I've said this before. Even my mother gets really annoyed at the, we got out coach, we got to coach better, we got to play better. Like, it's so cut and paste cliche. Like, he says it every single time. And I think that's what really annoys. There is nothing specific to the game. There's nothing that he's actually referencing what occurred in the 3 hours of your life you just invested in his football team. There's nothing to make you feel better. Okay, well, he's acknowledging that, yeah, there's something happened in the game. And you are invested. Yeah. You chose to watch. You chose to blow a Sunday on him.
But he really doesn't care. He's brilliant. He really just does not care what the public thinks about him.
No, nope, really not at all.
No, he doesn't. That hits it 100% on that.
As long as they watch. Because I'm pretty sure he cares about the $7.5 million that gets put in his bank account every year.
But he also knows that winning, they'll watch. If I start losing, I'm out of a job and they'll stop watching. Right. So it doesn't really matter what I say.
Well, to some degree.
You know, the real nice guys have been fired in this league.
Oh, all the time.
You know, the real bad guys have been fired.
And a-hole's been fired all the time,
too. It all comes down to how well their team's doing.
Well, to some degree.
In both cases.
Yeah, you buy yourself
the only thing that James is trying to say, Andy and I have been on this bandwagon, it doesn't matter what he says in terms of winning and losing. That's the only thing we're trying to say. You seem to think there's a correlation between not saying anything and winning.
No, I'm saying that this is the way Bill Belichick chooses to do things. He's very consistent.
Unlike Tom Brady.
You know, he's extremely consistent, and you put up with it because he's brilliant.
Well, because we have to.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I mean, you do put up with it, but I would think it would make fans more interested in going on. Look, you drive the website. There's a lot of Bill Belichick conferences on the website. I have never gone to the Patriots website and looked at a Bill Belichick conference.
Believe it or not, people do.
When Bill Parcells was here, not only, I mean, this was before we had, you know, live stuff on the website, but in Patriots Football Weekly, we had a double truck, which in our parlance means a two-page spread, sponsored.
Right.
Because he was so intriguing to read and listen to.
But I can understand as an owner, Bill Parcells would have been slightly divisive with, you know, if you buy the vegetables, you cook dinner, that whole thing. I don't think John Farrell is at all, you know, bad for ownership and stuff like that. And maybe it's just because his personality is great as well. I mean, I never found listening to Doc Rivers that interesting and stuff like that, but that may have been personality driven. But I don't know. That's just an aside. On to another note, just a quick one on Rob Gronkowski. correct me if I'm wrong, if he was going to come back in week six, putting him on the PUP versus on the roster wouldn't actually be the same because theoretically he can't practice when he's on the PUP, right?
Well, right. And he'd come back after week six. He couldn't come back at all. Yeah. Right.
If they were thinking he was coming back for around week six, even if they thought he was coming back around week seven, there's still a school of thought that he would have been not put on the PUP because they'd want him to practice.
Sure.
Yeah.
People think that.
People have broached that topic. Yeah. I would disagree with it, but yeah.
And I think especially with the types of injuries he had, one was a back. You really want to see how that is. And one is this weird one with the arm that.
But you are allowed to see how that is.
Yeah. Physically, you can do all.
You can't do anything.
Well,
he can't practice with the team.
Well,
he can be with the other injured guys and working out and doing all the stuff.
Said, oh, we've got to have 3 or 4 weeks of him practicing with the team.
Right.
Or do you think it's so automatic you could have thrown him in after a week of being on the practice field?
Well, if you believe the reports, they thought he was ready to go week two, which was 7 days of practice into the season because it was a short week on a Thursday night.
Right.
So if you believe reports, they didn't really care about the 5 or 6 weeks of practice. They thought he was ready to go against the Jets.
Yeah. One last thing, and then I'll go. When Brady was renegotiating his contract, he would have obviously, there must have been, you know, I believe the only reason he did that was to try and free up cap space because he wanted to win. I don't believe it was for the extra money. I don't think he needs it or anything like that. Given the fact that they're in the position at the moment, they need to go out and do something with that cap money, I think, to keep Tom happy. The thing I'm worried about is they may have to overspend to get someone. Do you think they will overspend in the off season, or principally they will just never do that?
I think that they're going to make a splash in free agency this off season,
but overspend.
Yeah, I don't think they'll overspend.
I don't either.
I think
Bill would cut off.
I think this is the thing. If you're going to free up the cap space, having spare cap money, and you're not going to sell Brady value when he takes theoretically a pay cut.
I think that in order to make a splash in the offseason, you kind of have to overspend a little bit.
That's what I think as well, but I don't necessarily think they're going to do it. I don't know if Tom's going to be pissed off because he took less money and freed up all the cap space. I just hope that they do what he's expecting them to do.
I mean, did you think
a bit of pain, and so should the team in overspending.
Their all-time splash was obviously 07, when they traded for Moss, they traded for Welker. They added Adalys Thomas. I mean, were any of those overpaying?
No, well, I mean, certainly Moss wasn't. What was it, a fourth rounder or something?
Welker, they said they overpaid.
3 years, 27. I said it, but they didn't think they overpaid.
I'm talking, when I say overpay, I mean like not.
Mike Wallace.
A lot of guys are overpaid.
What I'm talking about, they're going to.
3 years, $9 million.
I wouldn't have given him more than seven. People who overpay in free agency are the first ones in.
Right, big
first
spenders.
First ones in the pool usually overpay, and I think the Patriots might be that this year.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, what Andy's talking about is they might overpay in that they might give a guy that you might deem a $20 million player $22 million. They're not going to go out and spend 5 for $60 million on a wide receiver.
Right. Or like Mario Williams, $100
million. Or $100 million on the defensive end. They might be the first ones. Adalys Thomas was what? $30 million?
Yes.
Yeah. He ended up being a bust, but I don't think that was an overpay. That was certainly a splash. But I don't think that they felt like they overpaid for him.
Do you think the Amendola contract now plays into their thinking about, I mean, we can't live the rest of our lives with picking up Talib's, putting them on 2 years, show-me deals, and living off that, because they don't tend to work out that great. But do you think the Amendola and the way that contract has started to work out, do you think that scared them at all or not?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
What has scared them?
Amendola's because he's hurt a lot or?
Yeah.
No.
He's prone to be fit.
No, I think the structure of that contract is not that bad at all for the team. You know, I think it's very palatable. And
he's not guaranteed $30 million.
Yeah, I think they... You know, they're not going to go rush and sign a guy with a injury history anytime soon.
I'm trying to think of when they had a contract that we would say was what I think you're taught, like a splash.
Yeah, no, they have not done it, period.
I mean, even Thomas, like Paul says,
was relatively good money
for a guy that was considered like the perfect fit for them and a great defensive
offense. I'm talking about is, you know, free agency season starts. There's 4 or 5 guys that are the guys. Do you go after one of them? That's the splash. Whether or not
I'm
you
not
end
sure
up
they will.
They've done that in the past.
Adelius Thomas was one that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I
think and Roosevelt Coleman was that guy.
Oh, offense. I don't think so.
Maybe when everyone gets back and fit and things like that, maybe it won't be like that. And maybe they do pick up a Knicks or Fitzgerald or something like that. Last one and I'll go. Sorry. What are their chances of signing Tlaib?
I think their chances are 50-50. I learned it from Paul.
I was waiting for him to say it, but that's exactly what my answer was.
That's good. That's an improvement of spending money on a quarter. I like 50-50.
And I think he likes it.
I think the reason I give it 50-50. Sorry, James. The reason I give it 50-50 is what Andy was just starting to say. I think he likes it.
Yeah, he likes it here. He fits in with the players, the coaching. We play, amateur psychology. I think it's brought stability to his life.
He has such swagger.
He's an agent.
He's a what?
Who's his agent?
That's a good question.
I don't know. Strippers find out, because that may have something to do with it.
All right.
All right, I'll leave you be.
All right, thanks, James.
Good stuff. Good stuff, James.
Let's go to Eric in Houston. Hey, Eric.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
How you doing?
Good. I just got a quick comment and a quick question. My comment is, I still think Patriots are going to go 12-4. Don't know why. Sorry, Andy. I don't know.
I said 12-4 too.
They would just because Brady and Belichick, but it's a crappy league and there's just not many great teams. And I still think 12-4.
Yeah, for a lot of the reasons Eric just said, Freddie, is why I still have my confidence. I haven't seen a lot of teams that I watch that I say they're in a much better spot than the Patriots. Now I don't see a lot of teams that I say, well, I watch them and they're in a much worse spot than the Patriots either, but. I feel like when there's sort of a level playing field in terms of talent, and I'll take my chances with an edge in coaching and an edge in quarterback. Is that going to make me win every game? No. I felt like I had a significant edge in coaching quarterback last week, and I lost. But I think overall, you're going to win your share of games when you have edges at those two spots. I'm with Eric. I think Eric's reasoning might be flawed, but I think it's sound.
Okay. Okay, and my quick question was, if Mayo plays as good as he did last Sunday, because in my opinion, he probably had his best game of the season last week.
I agree.
Do you think he's good enough to slow down Sproles? I know he can't stop him, but
no.
I think his form tackling and stuff was great last week. And if we can slow down Sproles somehow and do whatever we can against Graham, I think we'll have a decent shot.
Well,
I'll hang up and listen to you guys.
Okay, thanks. You could have Mayo playing the Willie McGinnis role that he played in the Super Bowl in 2001, where, you really try to slow down Sproles at the line. He could play that role.
Yeah, I don't think they'll have success doing that.
No?
No. This is not – look, that defense
is so
good. You think
Sproles is better than
– No, but I don't think Marshall Mayo's as good as Willie McGinnis.
Really?
No. Oh. God, no.
Wow.
No. I think it's
really
a little disrespectful, to be honest with you.
Okay. All right.
I think those guys were very, very good in 2001. And it wasn't just Mayo, I'm talking about. No, I'm saying, I don't think that they stack up defensively to that team in 2001. I think it's easy to sit there and say, okay, McGinnis is going to hit him at the line, but what if he misses him?
Right.
Well, I'm okay because I got Mike Vrabel.
You got to Bucky Jones.
And I got Teddy Bruschi, and I got Lawyer Malloy, and... what happens if Mayo, he slips by Mayo?
Well, you got McCourty, and you got Gregory, you got Tlaib.
Exactly.
Pretty good.
So I'm assuming Tlaib and McCourty are going to be preoccupied with Graham, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
So take those two out of the equation.
I
think running backs and tight ends have been a problem for this defense, and I expect them to continue to be a problem.
Colin in Belgium, I'm a little disappointed in y'all. In the preseason, you were saying you don't want Donald Jones and Michael Jenkins because you didn't want Brady to have a mediocre binky and stunt the growth of the rookies. Now you're ready to give up and try to get any receiver you can. Knicks, Gordon, giving up draft picks. Give the rookies a chance. The Bengals game was a big setback, but otherwise they were getting steadily better. Not good yet, but better each game. My worry is the O-line. It seemed early in the season they were always pulling a guard or a tackle in the run game. I wonder if this bit them in the Bengals game and the defense just jumped through the unblocked hole while all this movement was happening. Seemed like this happened a few times. What do you think?
I think Donald Jones and Michael Jenkins are nowhere near comparable to Hakeem Nicks or Josh Gordon. So, no, I didn't want a Jag. I wanted a talented guy as a veteran. If I can get Nicks to plug in on the outside, or, I mean, you don't think that Nicks is going to improve the offense? Or you don't think that a guy like Josh Gordon could improve you? I am afraid of Josh Gordon for off-field reasons. But he's a talented guy. He's not Michael Jenkins, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely not.
Michael Jenkins, you watched him in training camp. He couldn't run. Now, Donald Jones was a whole different story altogether. He was health-related. The only reason why Donald Jones is not a Buffalo Bill is health. He had that problem that caused him to get non-tendered last year. And that's the only reason why he was available at all. But Michael Jenkins, we watched him in training camp. He couldn't get open. He couldn't separate. He couldn't catch the ball. We're talking about guys that aren't as good as they have on the roster now. Hakeem Nicks is a lot better than Kembrell Tompkins.
Oh, yeah. We've seen what Hakeem Nicks can do.
So it's not like I'm looking for, quote, any Jag to plug in because they need a veteran. No, I want talent. Nicks is talented.
By the way, Andy had a run to the locker room.
Yes.
So.
And locker room opened a little bit early, I'm told.
LT from Adelaide just wanted to send you guys a hypothetical question and a quick game. The scenario is you are Bill Belichick, the GM of this current Patriots team. Would you make any moves before the trade deadline, or are you happy with the roster as it stands?
Oh, it's funny that we have that one right after the previous. I would be looking to upgrade my depth chart in a variety of areas, but wide receiver and defensive line would be the two specific ones.
Quick over-under game. Patriots points this week, 24.
I'm going to say under.
I'm going to say over.
That'd be good. They've only been over that once.
Patriots offensive turnovers, 1.5.
I'll say under.
Yeah. Saints offensive turnovers, 1.5.
And I'll say under as well.
Tom Brady touchdowns, 2.5.
Under.
And Patriots defensive sacks, 3.5.
Under.
Okay. I was surprised and impressed yesterday that Andy did not go all four-year-old and giggle when Paul said, quote, if he's not ready for a full load, I would say let's not ask him to pound away 25 times. But then Andy returned to his normal self later in the show. As always, keep up the great work. So.
I'm just trying to remember. It must have been about Gronkowski.
Yeah, something like that.
I was trying to figure out what the context could be there.
It might have been Bolden.
No.
No?
I don't want Bolden, if he's 100% healthy, to carry the ball 25 times.
Andy writes in, dear men of PFW, down here in Tampa, I get a lot of national sports radio. They mentioned the Steelers toying with trading Emmanuel Sanders, and they said since the Patriots were already interested in him during the offseason, would they give up a second or third round pick for him? I think it is certainly something to think about. Even if it takes a few weeks to a month to learn the offense, the Patriots could possibly come out of their bye week with Amendola, Gronkowski, Sanders, Ridley, and Vereen. Pretty good weapons. This isn't even mentioning Tompkins and Dobson. What are your thoughts? I would give a third for him.
I would give a third. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not as high on him as the other guys that are being mentioned, though. I don't think he's as good a player as Gordon. I don't think he's not even close to Nicks.
I said it, and I'll say it again. That was the miss of the offseason.
You've been on that?
Yep.
Right from the start, Freddie.
I think they swung and missed at him. They should have offered a little bit more. Dave in Milwaukee, I really enjoyed yesterday's show because, for the first time I can remember this season, there was significant blame put on Belichick. If John has said it's time to move on from Brady, put me in the time to move on from Belichick group. Although I've been a member of said camp for 2 to 3 years. Well, if...
See,
I don't know if I should go on.
I don't really understand that. You should go on.
All right.
We should give everybody a...
Tompkins, Dobson, Hightower, Jones, Harmon, Wilson, Butler, Chung, Cunningham, Cannon, and countless others, all players whom, at this point, I think it is safe to say were inappropriate or downright terrible draft picks. In the case of Tompkins, I don't mind giving him a shot as an undrafted free agent, but there is no way in hell he should be asked to be our 2 or 3 wide receiver, regardless of injuries to other players. Belichick refusing to draft household names in favor of unknowns that prove his genius has gotten beyond simply value mentality that we all used to hate. It's now a bad value. Couple that with the fact that he bickered with Welker over a small amount of money and ended up with Welker's glass statue in Amendola, and you get an extremely bleak picture of the Patriots franchise. At this point, Belichick, the GM, has cost the team more than Belichick, the coach, has benefited the team. That's Dave in Milwaukee. What say you, Paul?
Just because he doesn't draft household names or the names that, quote unquote, we want doesn't mean that his, you know, he's wrong. I think that he has swung and missed too many times lately. I think the drafts have not been very good lately. I can say that because Andy's not here to throw back my very, very good drafting in my face. Listen, I'm going to say the same thing that I said at the beginning of the show. If you think Belichick is part of the problem, then I just would ask you, what do you do when you watch other teams play, and how do you react when you see just bonehead decision after bonehead decision? I see coaches every week challenging plays that aren't challengeable, costing their teams timeouts. I see just an utter lack of just organization on the sideline. I'll give you an example, another one from the Bengals game. You know, and this is why I was a little upset at the whole Bengals thing, because I thought the Bengals played really, really badly the other day. And when they beat the Patriots, Freddie. Do you remember the play? It's 6-3 in the fourth quarter, and the Bengals have the ball, third and goal from inside the 1 yard line. Do you remember that?
Okay, yep.
What do the Bengals do? They bring in big defensive tackle to play fullback. Fine. A lot of teams do it. Belichick's done it. I'm not blaming that. It's not something I would necessarily do, but a lot of teams do it. They got to call timeout before the play, which to me reeks of a lack of preparation, a lack of understanding what exactly it is you're doing. Big play in the game, because there's a huge difference between being up 9-3 as opposed to being up 13-3 in the fourth quarter. I get it, okay? So you want to make sure you get it right. But the fact that you couldn't get it right without taking a timeout, to me, speaks to an overall lack of preparation on the sideline. That's A. B, they come out of the timeout, and what happens? The defensive tackle gets called for illegal motion. So it ends up third and goal from the 6. Those are the plays that cost teams football games. Now, they were able to get away with it because they called a quarterback draw, and Dalton got about 5.5 of those yards back, and they were able to go for it on fourth down, and they made it with Benny getting in. So they got away with it. But those are the plays that cost you games.
Right.
I don't see those kinds of things happening to Belichick often. And until I do, he's the coach I want.
Well,
I'm not saying he's perfect. He made mistakes, too. I thought they made mistakes on the goal line, on their own goal line possession, by not running the ball more than just once. But I'm sorry. I just don't see this with the head cut off mentality on the sideline in Patriots games.
I think Dave would say, well, you know, I'm not talking about coaching. I'm talking about the GM. And
I'm talking about his personal moves.
And really, you know.
You can't have the coach without the GM.
You got to look at each team. If you're going to make a real good judgment about that, you have to look at each team as closely as you look at the Patriots. And, you know.
And that's hard to do, because who has the time to
really, hard to
you know.
Do, because you're not listening to other radio shows that dissect and analyze,
right.
You know, those teams. You don't have time. No one has time.
But you can't have Belichick the coach without Belichick the GM.
And you can't have the success the Patriots have had over 13 years without doing something right. You know, it just. You know, anyway, Walter says, Brady, move on. When Brady got his extension, I bit the bullet and tried to get behind him. He hasn't shown much. Blame it on the young receivers, Andy, but other teams have young receivers and do much better. Can't see the offense getting better when Gronk gets back, because the other teams will double him and Brady will try to force it in and get sacked. Even Tebow could have put up more than 6 points against the Bengals. Wow.
I'm not sure he could have, since he never did when he played. Listen, I'm not here to tell people that they're wrong, but I just feel like if you think that Brady and Belichick are the problem, then you must think that the receivers are just unbelievably bad if you think Brady and Belichick are the problem.
Justin writes in, hey, Fred, Paul, and Andy, love the show. Been listening for 2 years now. My girlfriend and I are traveling from Toronto to come to the game this weekend, and I was wondering what attractions there are to see in and around Boston or Foxborough to check out on Saturday. Also, are there any restaurants you recommend? Because I imagine I'll be pretty hung once we get there after the 8-hour drive. Well, if you're going to be in Foxborough on Saturday, you got to check out the hall. That's for sure. Right?
Sure. Is it open?
Yeah, the Hall at Patriot Place presented by Raytheon. You got to check out the Hall if you have time on Saturday. If you're in Boston, I mean, obviously, it's a major city, and there's tons of
stuff.
Tons of
lot things. A lot of culture.
Yep.
Yeah, Faneuil Hall.
I mean, from Toronto, I'm not sure you're interested in, you know, the American
Newberry
history and
Street
all that.
Shopping.
But as Paul just said, the Freedom Trail is a good take, although it does take a long time.
Yeah, it does.
What's that, like a five-hour investment?
I don't know. I haven't done that since I was a kid.
You could go on the duck boat and do the tour.
Duck boat tours, absolutely.
Those are really cool.
As long
walk
as they don't
Newberry
catch on fire.
Street, go down to Faneuil Hall.
Museums.
Yep.
Freedom Trail is so worth it, though.
It's great.
So worth it.
Yep. So there's tons, but if you are in Foxborough on Saturday, you got to go to the Hall. That's number one.
Presented by Raytheon.
Very good.
You know, besides that, the End Zone Motel, perhaps you might want to check that out.
Stop, drop, and roll.
The Red Rooster or whatever down there.
Sure.
The Red
Wing
Diner.
C. Scott's. P.S. Dante
diner.
Hightower is brutal. Should we try and switch him out on some packages for Jamie Collins, or possibly switch his in Ninkovich's role, as I believe Rob used to play linebacker and use Hightower as a pass rusher only? Also, I think the best aspect of this team right now is the kicking game, as Gostkowski is having a solid season and has bounced back from his mediocre performance last year, and Ryan Allen has improved a lot from week one. Love the show. Hope you eventually go Monday to Friday.
Yeah, I would love to do this show all the time, full time, all the time. It's my favorite part of the day, but we can't do Monday to Friday.
Got other things to do.
We got other things to do. And until Fred takes those away.
When Fred takes those away, Fred will be going away.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah. That's the only reason I'm here.
No, it's not.
Michelle.
People love this show, Freddie.
Michelle writes in, of course I want them to win, she says, although the only thing that I need them to do is fix the mistakes. They need to show improvement in protecting the quarterback, miss routes, drop catches. Part of the reason why I love Woodhead was he only got small stuff, but he had the state of mind to come and help Brady when he was in trouble. Same for West, then of course they had better hands. I used to think, man, I wish we had someone that could go down the field. Now I miss those 4 or 5 yard passes.
The Woodhead thing is interesting to me, the way that's developing right now.
Oh.
Don't you think?
People love him.
And are you watching?
The Saints? I mean,
the Chargers.
The Chargers? You know, I've seen him make a few good plays.
He's made some plays, and
he's
made some bad plays. He had a fumble return for a touchdown last week. He got stopped on fourth and goal from inside the one on another play.
Why are you running him in fourth?
Well, he's supposed to be your jack of all trades that can do all the different things.
Well, that's coaching. That's a coaching.
He had 9 carries for 13 yards last week.
Yeah, I don't blame that on Woodhead.
Well, what about the other 8 carries? You blame any of those on Woodhead? Well, how about the one he gets fumbled?
They're not using him right.
How about when he fumbles and he loses the ball and it goes for a touchdown?
They're not using him right.
Well, how do you want to use him? Part-time ball carrier or part-time pass receiver?
It is interesting how people, now that he's gone.
He's, like, vaulted to a position that he was never in as a Patriot. That's what I'm getting at.
Right.
You know, and Danny Woodhead is one of my, one of the guys I really enjoyed to talk to in the locker room, even though he never said anything. He was such a nice guy. And he made plays with his team. He made some plays. But people are putting him in a position that he wasn't in. Danny Woodhead never had a game for the Patriots like Shane Vereen did in week one in that role. Not one.
Michelle also wants to remember a quote from a college coach that goes something, if the team loses, it's my fault. If the team does good, it's a combined effort. I think it was actually Bill's idol. Paul Brown, and I think it goes something like, if things go bad, I did it. If things are good, we did it. If things are great, they did it. That's the quote.
Do you think there's a belief in that?
I think that's what he
tries
to teach.
Do you think coaches believe that?
I think coaches try to teach that to the players, to have that team mentality.
Great commercial.
You know, so when things are bad, I did it. When things are good, we did it. And when things are great, they did it.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if you think coaches really believe that.
Well, if you were a coach, wouldn't you want your players to think that?
That's not what I asked you. I asked you if the coach really thinks
that. Well, when they sit in their office and they're, you know, steaming over a loss, of course they don't think that.
Well, that's what I'm asking.
But I think they want their players to buy into that mentality, don't you?
Sure. You want the players to buy into whatever your mentality is.
Sure. So,
So.
Don writes in, Big Don from Cali, would someone please ask Bill where is Josh Boyce? I think they're treating him like Taylor Price. That's a pretty good analogy. I don't know if they're treating him that way for the same reason.
I'm upset about it, too, because I think that there's an element to this offense that's lack. See, at least with Taylor Price, you had a 35-point-a-game offense. There was no room for him.
Don't you think if you got Boyce the ball in the open field, he could do something
There was
it?
No room for him, right? This offense is screaming for a playmaker.
Right.
Now, maybe he just stinks. Maybe we're just wrong, and he just can't play. I don't know.
Nick says, I just wanted to give you credit for being great. The other day, I tried listening to the playbook for the first time this year, only to turn it off in disgust after sitting through 10 minutes of trade Brady talk, which totally makes sense, seeing as he's the problem, and this offense would look better with RG3 or Kaepernick taking the snaps. His words, not mine. I thought you deserve someone to take the time out and thank you for all you do. You help a ton of people make it through the day with your sound analysis, hysterical diatribes, and overall greatness that makes PFW in Progress an amazing 2 hours. That should be every day, but that's another email. You truly are the best internet-based radio show focused on a single regional sports team. You know what? You're the best radio show, period. So wow. Fred, Paul, Andy, and yes, even Kevin and Eric, keep it up. Go Pats. Paul's mother. Oh, no.
Good job.
That was Nick.
You know what's funny? We had that. I spent the whole day yesterday completely convincing myself that there's no way John Rook really believes that it was time to move away from Brady. And then we did the crossover, and
right.
I'm like, "What?" He just explained his position, and I have absolutely no idea what he's talking about. I have not, like, in what Nick just said, that's basically what he's saying. If they had a guy that could move,
right.
Like Taj Boyd or Jameis Winston, how does that help you?
He said,
how does that help you?
I guess
it doesn't make any sense.
With Kaepernick or RG3, this offense would look better.
Well, because he could run the zone read?
Right.
Because that's it. I don't understand why, if you're a less accurate passer with less experience in understanding how to read defenses, that gives you a better opportunity to complete passes to guys that don't always go where they're supposed to go. Because that's basically what the nutshell is, right?
Right.
Brady is so precise that he can't complete passes to these guys because they're not good enough. Does that make any sense to you?
Can you imagine what would people be saying, or some of the people be saying, if Tebow was still on the roster?
Right, I think it would be these, I call them the vocal minority.
Yeah.
They'd be calling for Tebow.
It'd be unbelievable. For that reason, I'm glad he's not here. All right. Food's here. We're going to take a quick break so we can get a little fuel for the fire. And we'll come back strong right after this.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop. Dine. Enjoy.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
The word off-season doesn't exist in the NFL. Maybe for hot dog vendors and groundskeepers, but not for teams or players or fans. When the goal every year is winning it all, the road begins to be paved in February. Because there are holes that need to be filled, weights that need to be lifted, and next levels that need to be reached. Keep up with your favorite team with coverage of NFL Network 24/7 on NFL Mobile. Always having your passions with you? That's powerful. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile from Verizon. Airtime and messaging rates may apply. Coverage not available everywhere. Available on select smartphones. Don't call or text while driving.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Miami. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square or across the street from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. Ace Ticket is Boston's own ticket agency. We've been serving our customers for over 30 years. Ace always has the best seats at the lowest prices. Whether it's sports, concert, or theater tickets, Ace makes it easy to get the tickets you want and the service you deserve. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS and get the lowest price on the best tickets for all Boston sports teams. And with our free loyalty program, you get 5% back on all orders. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Ace Ticket. Sit your ace down.
1-800-MY-SEATS. The Patriots Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, autographed memorabilia, and much more, including our new game-worn gear collection, where you can own a piece of authentic Patriots history. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
You know that celebration dance? The I just got a heck of a deal on awesome entertainment, so let's dance, dance? You probably haven't done it in a while, so here's a reason to. Now until September 3rd, when you sign up for 100% fiber optic Verizon Fios, you can take your entertainment to the next level with America's fastest, most reliable internet. Switch to a Fios Triple Play online for just $79.99 a month for 12 months and get your choice of a $300 Amazon.com gift card or a $300 Visa prepaid card with a 2-year agreement. Plus, get a high-speed wireless router at no additional charge. You won't get that with cable. And that's an entertainment deal worth dancing about. So hurry. This great summer deal ends September 3rd. Visit gottogetfios.com and upgrade today. Technology that makes life more entertaining. That's powerful. Price is $89.99 a month for months 13 to 24. Rate may increase after 2 years. Verizon Visa prepaid card issued by MetaBank, member FDIC. Amazon.com is not a sponsor of this promotion. Restrictions apply. Fios available in select areas. Offer for new customers subscribing to a triple play bundle online with a 2-year agreement and ends 9/3/13. Taxes, fees, RSN fee, and other terms apply. Visit Verizon.com/Amazon for details.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
PFW in Progress presents Car Shopping with Fred Kirsch.
You know, when I first got married, my wife's car, she had a Subaru Outback, okay? The woman across the street comes over and says, oh, you have a Subaru Outback. That's a lesbian car. And I'm up pruning the tree. I'm like, who asked you?
Never question the boss when it comes to cars.
Did you say that? Yeah, I said that to her. Who asked you? But my point is, who cares? If lesbians have adopted the Subaru Outback, but I like a Subaru Outback, I don't care.
Because there's
only people like you that have hang-ups.
No.
Did you listen? Have a hang-up.
Nobody will ever tell Fred Kirsch or his wife what to drive. Now back to PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. We're all satiated now, ready to get back into it. A lot of emails coming in at webradio@patriots.com. The phone number is 508-298-0398. That's the Ace Ticket Hotline, or 855-PATS-500. I had a delicious Italian sub from Pizzeria Grandi. It was delicious.
It was good?
It was good.
All right.
They make a good Italian. Look, I give them credit where, you know, but...
Well, I'm surprised.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, Kevin was complaining about his sandwich.
Oh, yeah? Kevin didn't have a good sandwich? What did you get?
Grilled chicken.
Grilled chicken.
It was all, like, rubbery and had the fat on the outside.
Well, you know,
so you're
the chicken
for a half an hour.
These days, people are being extra careful because I guess people in California are getting sick with salmonella.
You know how when... if you're grilling chicken at home, Fred, or you're sautéing it in a pan or whatever, you know, pan frying it, you kind of take off, once you wash it, you take off all the fat kind of on the outside, the fatty pieces. You can see them. They're really white. You can tell they don't do that with this.
Oh.
You're just chewing on it for a half an hour.
That's not good. That's not good.
My calzone is excellent, as usual.
Okay. Let's see. Kevin writes in. He has the top five things to look for against New Orleans and honey. I don't know what honey means. What do you think that means?
I don't know.
Honey, I don't know. Anyway, he says, I was able to listen
on
live
Sunday,
today.
Is it supposed to say?
It says honey. A nice treat. I always listen to you when I travel. I love PFW daily, the app. By the way, if you know you don't have it and you do have an iPad, you need to download that right away. The 6 hours listening each week rivals the entertainment of the game each weekend. That's great. I'm glad that people are really appreciating the show. So here are five things I'm looking for from the New Orleans games in reverse order of importance as I see it. Curious about your thoughts. Number five, Brady. How will Brady perform? Still not sure how much of the issues are the rookies or Brady or a combination. Number four, Tlaib. Will he have another strong performance? I'm on the fence about paying him. Want a larger sample size against better teams. Three, receiving core. Will rookies show more improvement? Will Amendola get back to previous form? Will Gronk be even a little Gronk-like? Number two, O-line. Will they do their job setting the run and protecting Brady? And the number one thing to look for in New Orleans, in honey, whatever that means, the defense. Can they keep a good offense down? This is a real test. Thanks for a first-rate entertainment. Also, I'm the one who wrote in about honey a couple months ago being great for allergies. Just extracted 50 pounds from one of our hives. Want me to send you guys some? Kevin from I would love some. There's nothing I love better than real, you know, honey right from the hive. We've got some at home.
You've had that?
Oh, yeah. Kevin from Maine was right about that. A lot of people said that when you eat natural honey, it has all the natural pollen and stuff from the area, and you will, you know, if you do it enough, you can possibly form an immunity to your allergies. So eating local honey is good. But sure, I'll take a jar of honey, absolutely. You like honey, Paul?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever had what you're calling a natural honey right from a hive like that, though. I mean, I've had, like, the stuff you buy in the supermarket.
Yeah.
Put a little in a tea.
Yeah, it's
a little honey in your tea. When you have like a sore throat in the winter.
I stick my finger in the jar and just eat it right off my finger.
Okay.
I love it. Ramon in Dallas says, if our current roster finally started playing significantly better the second half of the season or next year, do we vindicate Bill the GM for his great moves and begin blaming Bill the coach for a poor job? Or do we just say the GM did a bad job and praise the coach even more for coaching these guys up? I don't know. I you know, we'll see.
I like it, though. I like that whole, you know, either way,
sure.
You got to kind of be critical.
Alex in Philly. So John Rook doesn't think it's time to move on from Brady. He just thinks we need someone other than Brady to throw the football to these wide receivers. So in his view, Brady would still be on the team but holding a clipboard for Jameis Winston or Taj Boyd. Seriously, I like Rook, but Eric's negativity is rubbing off on him, blaming Brady and just completely ignoring the fact that he has no NFL wide receivers to throw to is idiotic. Look at the other three truly elite quarterbacks, Peyton Manning, Rodgers, and Brees, wouldn't their fourth or fifth option be our first? I would say yes, and I can't even name them. This isn't 06 Brady. This is 2013 Brady. At his age, he needs more help, not less. And considering where we are, any help. This is what happens when you surround your quarterback with crap and expect him to magically make it work. Lastly, is Tommy Kelly fine? If not, who is playing defensive tackle? Well, right now, it's Chris Jones, Joe Valano. Did they bring up Forston?
Mm-mm.
No? He's still down.
They signed a guy yesterday named Andre Neblett.
That's right.
Who spent three seasons with Carolina. You know, kicked him around a little bit. That might be an indication that Kelly is not, quote-unquote, fine. But we'll see. And he hasn't practiced, right?
Right.
He didn't practice today either?
He did not. Just a reminder, at the end of the show or
it's
last...
It's Jameis Winston, by the way.
Jameis?
Jameis. Yeah.
Jameis?
Yeah. You might want to learn him. He's probably the best freshman in college football.
Well, then he's not going to be available.
No, but, you know, you should be aware of who one of the better players in college football is. Right, Kevin?
Well, what's going on with that clowny guy? People are questioning his mental makeup these days.
It's like they think he doesn't want to play, and they might not be wrong. He might just be protecting himself. That seems to be the word. And Spurrier was pretty critical of him last week, mostly because he found out that he wasn't playing, like just before the game, and like there was no indication that he wasn't going to play. And he said, but if he wants to play, yeah, he can play. Wow. You know, basically calling him out a little bit. But I don't know.
That's not good. I don't like that.
No, but, you know, he also got to look at, you know, he's probably watching and looking at what happened to Marcus Lattimore, his teammate last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying to protect himself a little bit.
Mike in Qatar writes in, with the Saints offense mostly being the passing game, our pass defense will be put to the test. What do you think a realistic expectation would be for the pass rush against the Saints? Over under. Ninkovich, one sack, over under. I'd say, I'll say push. Jones, 1.5.
Under. I'll say a push on Ninkovich and under on 1.5.
If he gets a half, he's probably got it with Ninkovich. They usually end up being at the same place at the same time. And Mayo, 12 tackles. That could be. Yeah. Thanks for the great.
But I don't necessarily think that's a good thing.
Why?
Depends where they are.
Well, yeah. I mean, when your safeties are, you know, leading your team in tackles, that means that's not a good thing.
Yeah, well, like I said, it depends where they are.
Right.
You know, Rodney used to make a lot of tackles around the line of scrimmage.
And I know Mayo's not a safety, but if the Saints are passing all day, then, you know, it may not be a good thing. Canadian Mike in Florida, all this talk about getting rid of Brady and Bill is redunculous. So let me preface this email by saying Tom and Bill should not be fired. However, do you guys agree with this scenario? In 4 years, Brady loses his magic and the Patriots change quarterbacks. Brady still wants to play and asks for a trade. Patriots let him go and move on. Bill sticks around trying to develop a new quarterback. However, he quickly realizes that Tom Brady's of this game only come around once in a blue moon. And 2 years into the development, he retires. Bottom line, Tom will not finish his career in New England, a la Montana, and Bill will never be fired. Does this sound about right? I'm verklempt, so now talk amongst yourselves. I could see that happening. I do not rule out Brady being traded at the end of his contract here, near the end.
Yeah.
I mean, it's happened.
The contract makes him very, very tradable.
It happened with Joe Montana and other guys of his ilk. So
now, 4 years, that's a long time.
Yeah, from now?
Yeah.
I would think that Brady would be ready to retire,
yeah,
too.
I think that would be it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I could see him not finishing his career here, and I could see Bill trying to stay beyond Brady and then quickly sort of losing some vigor with
By the way, did you hear the new Hard Knocks thing where teams are going
to
be—
Explain that to me.
Okay, so here's what teams are going to be forced— they won't have a choice now, but there are exemptions. And the exemptions are if you have a new coach or if you've made the playoffs the last 2 years, those are exemptions as well. So obviously the Patriots, if it was this year, would not have to do it unless they volunteered to do it. You know, the Bengals did it because, you know, they volunteered. But could you imagine a scenario where for whatever reason, the Patriots didn't make the playoffs 2 years in a row, and they forced the Patriots to do Hard Knocks, I think that's when Bill Belichick would retire. I think that would be it.
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't see him ever agreeing to do that. I think that's really, really stupid, by the way. No one should ever be forced to do Hard Knocks.
Right.
Now, if you want to do it, I find it to be interesting TV. I also find it to be a little uncomfortable because I think it's kind of embarrassing to players.
Sure.
Don't you?
Yeah.
I don't think that players need to have their abilities dissected on national television.
Yeah.
And that's basically what you get on a lot of that stuff. I mean, I love the show because I think it's an interesting look behind the curtain.
It's intriguing, yeah.
But if I were involved in the NFL, I wouldn't like it very much.
Yeah. No, I definitely wouldn't want it on my team. That's for sure. But it is kind of funny, like, if you don't make the playoffs 2 years, you're put in the pool of having to do Hard Knocks like it's a penalty, which it is. So they're admitting that this is a penalty.
Exactly.
You know? Let's see. David writes in, my name is David. I'm from Los Angeles. I'm listening to the show live, and I'm starting to wonder if I've stepped into bizarro world. What is going on with Patriots Nation? Today, we have talked about getting rid of Bill, and in the past 2 days, we've even discussed getting rid of Tom. Really? Wow, have these things really gone that bad? People, relax. I know this sounds redundant, but we are 4-1. What's all the fuss about? The rookies? The receiving core? Or the offensive line? Just wait to see how the season ends and then see if these topics are even relevant. Yes, Bill has been the best in drafting in the past few years. But we have gone to the playoffs, so I think he meant he hasn't. Tom, really, I'm not discussing it. It's just ridiculous. The rookies are rookies. They're not going to just pick it up all up and be Jerry Rice or Randy Moss. The receiving corps will be fine. And the O-line will be better. You wait and watch. Have some faith in the team. I hear you, Dave. It's unbelievable. You get people like, you know, Eric Scalavino and John Rook talking about moving on from Tom Brady. It's just so negative.
Why are you...
It's so ridiculous.
Are you, casting aspersions here?
I
never said that we needed to get rid of Tom Brady.
Rook did.
Do you want me to sue you for libel?
Rook certainly did, right?
Slander, I should say.
Rook certainly did, right?
On
that show?
I don't know. I wasn't here for that show.
You weren't here for the show?
Not the show where he tried to
run
Brady out
of town.
No, he
did it on Tuesday. But
he also...
Like I said, I tried to give him the benefit of the doubt, and then he didn't back away from it during the crossover yesterday. And Andy, we started talking about it a little bit after you left. I still have no idea what he's talking about. The whole, you know, Taj Boyd and Jameis Winston would be able to complete passes because they can move. Like, I don't see Brady as... The problem to me isn't that Brady has no pocket presence and is running for his life every week. That's not been the problem. Now, he was under pressure last week. That was part of the offense's problem on Sunday against Cincinnati. But I don't think that because Brady can't move, that's the reason why he's not athletic. That's the reason why he can't complete passes to these rookie receivers. I don't understand the correlation.
Eric, do you want to hear an email from a former fan of the playbook, John in Winnipeg?
I don't know if I have a choice, do I?
If you don't want me to read it, I won't read it.
Go ahead.
He says, in all seriousness, Fred, I think you need to have a sit-down conversation with Eric and John Rook. As a former fan of the playbook, their current show depresses me. I've grown to dislike it so much that I actually enjoy deleting the podcast when it downloads to my phone instead of listening. I appreciate critique of the team, players, and coaches, but it needs to come from a good-natured, educated, and entertaining source. Paul and Andy do it all the time, but in a better way. The playbook is dour and depressing. Is there a cloud that follows around Eric and John? I'm not sure what it is, but I think you could help. If Eric lost his bitter edge and John watched a few more games, it would help.
Hey now.
P.S. I love Patriots Radio and want to enjoy more of it. I will be patient. So he'll be patient. So there you go.
What is going on with John Rook? Do you remember, you know, there was a time where, you know, I know this is hard to believe, but Andy and I were kind of deemed to be a little bit negative.
Right.
And everybody was like, oh, it's such a welcome, refreshing change when John Rook comes in with Eric and the Patriots playbook.
Right.
What happened?
Things are cyclical.
What happened?
Cyclical. That's all. Nothing to worry about.
Let's see. Well, TG thinks we're all negative. John Rook is done with Brady. The fans are done with Belichick. Paulie is done with small white wide receivers. Well, that was a long time ago. Fred is done always picking the Patriots to win every week. Andy is done with the whole league. Squidward is just done, period. Well, then, since we're passing around the blame and pointing fingers, I'm done with the owner. It's all Kraft's fault. He seems to be afraid of, or at least afraid of, losing the hoodie. He doesn't seem to ever stand up to him. If he wanted Welker to be a Patriot, well, damn it, he could have made it so. It's his money, not Belichick's. At some point, the owner has to hold the GM head coach accountable. Of course, I'm on a rant and appreciate everything Mr. Kraft has done for the franchise. But where are the boundaries of accountability within the organization? Regardless, I'm blaming the injury bug for this season's current predicament. I think the team will improve as the season goes along, but it will all be a little too late in the end. And can you explain why the Patriots are favored this weekend? Is it because they're at home?
Yeah, that would have to be, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's the old home field 3 points, and it's what, 2 or 2.5 now?
Something like that.
So they think that the Saints are slightly better?
Yeah, but you would wonder, though, if they...
And I also think that the Saints in particular are an outdoor team, an indoor team playing outdoors for the second week in a row.
Yeah.
You know, that offense hasn't been as good generally outside as it has been in the dome. They played well last week. Maybe they want to see people want to see them do it again.
What do you think about them coming early again?
Is that what they did?
Well, they came early last week, and they're coming on Friday again. Eric making coming jokes.
I didn't make any jokes.
Irony!
So they're coming on Friday?
Yeah. It works last week.
Miami of Ohio will be practicing here on Friday. In the
evidently, it's a big chance for UMass to get a W. Yeah. First W in this new stadium.
And they're wearing pink.
Well,
see, UMass changed their whole helmet sticker logo thing for the game.
The jersey is going to be pink?
I don't think so. I think just the
decal.
The decal on the helmet.
That's coming, I would think, right? Like a team wearing pink uniforms?
I'm not sure if that they were going to go. Hey, with Nike, you're right. Yes, I'm sure it's coming.
I mean, look at all the college uniforms. The highlighter
at
orange.
At some point, they're going to run out of something that shocks me, so they'll need pink.
See, Brandon Marshall got fined for wearing green cleats last week because it was a different charity.
Yeah, but now they're letting him.
No, they let him do it, but he got fined.
Oh, I thought this week they're going to let him do it.
No, that's not
letting him
do it.
They originally said that he was not allowed to take the field.
Oh.
And they said, okay, we'll let you do it, but
we're
going to fine you. And Marshall said, okay, I'll pay the fine, and I'm going to double that and pay it to the charity.
The NFL doesn't realize the bad PR that they have when they do stupid things like that. Like, remember when Johnny Unitas died?
Yeah,
Peyton Manning wanted to wear black cleats? No, you can't do that. No,
they just go with the whole slippery slope argument, though. Like, we can't let anything. We have to be black
and
white.
But it's dumb.
But you can't. Why
know
everything can't be
why
black
Why can't
and
you
white?
Look at things on a case-by-case basis?
Ask the coach down the hall. Every case is individual basis.
I don't know.
Joe in Vermont says it's hard to deny that
Helene. And I heard someone in the league said something like, we can't just have, like, all different charities being represented. Oh, my God. What a travesty that would be if we wanted to support all charities.
Seriously. Who said that? I need a name, Paul.
I don't know.
That's a really dumb thing to say.
Am I the kind of person that would hide the name if I actually
that's
had
idiotic,
one?
That's idiotic, Fred.
That's a good point.
Check.
Right.
I'd love to put a check mark next to somebody's name. Probably a yellow. Let's
quiet locker
anyway.
Room, by the way.
Oh, by the way, I watched the Frontline special last night.
What'd you think?
I thought it was really good. There's no doubt that at the very least, the league refused to listen to the evidence.
Right.
Mm. You know, at the very least, they refused to listen. And they basically admitted that since 2009, that, you know.
No
since
quarrel.
Goodell went up to the Capitol Hill and was compared to the
got
tobacco industry.
And got embarrassed.
Right.
And got you know, equated to
the tobacco industry. Right.
And it was perfect. You know, they think the public completely understands what that means.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, your head's in the sand and you're protecting your money.
But I like how the NFL has clearly gotten the word out through their people, Mike Florio and Darren Revelle, that the NFLPA wasn't mentioned once in that documentary.
Well, it's true.
Yeah, and that's fine. There can be multiple people wrong, but that's like my son saying, she hit me first, I broke her nose.
Right.
Like,
of course.
That's ridiculous. That's a terrible argument.
The NFL also refused to take part in the documentary.
Right.
If they wanted to make that point themselves, they could have easily done
that's true. But in terms of just how thorough was the documentary, I think that was missing.
That's fine.
Yeah.
There always is going to be things missing, and that may be intentional. I have no idea. Yeah. Maybe they were in bed with the NFLPA. I have no. But the bottom line is, even if, what's his name again? The old NFLPA guy?
Gene Upshaw.
Even if Upshaw was asleep at the wheel or even negligent, that doesn't say the NFL wasn't doing things they shouldn't have been doing.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line, in my opinion.
And if anybody missed it, didn't DVR it, it's being replayed on Channel 2 here in the Boston area tonight at 9.
Yeah. It's definitely worth the watch. No
oh,
doubt.
Yeah.
And, you know, now it's, you know, what do you do now? Where do you go from here? And I think, you know, the NFL has, you know, now that they've been exposed, they're trying to do all the right things. And hopefully they'll continue to do that, you know. But I think there are some people that they won't be happy until the league folds, you know. I think there are some people that say the only solution is not to play football because it's too violent.
Oh, well, that's true. I mean, if you are just – I thought you meant about the negligence.
Oh,
and
no.
If you're just talking about pure
right.
safety and concussions, then yes, that's the only answer is to
right.
stop football.
Right.
Yeah, but, I mean, there's an MMA promo going on right above Andy's head right
yep.
now. And
football, boxing, they all got to go.
These guys are going to have CTE, all
they
of these guys who are taking
gotta
part
go.
In it now.
Can't use a header in soccer anymore. You can't. I mean, if you're going to go through it, you got to eliminate all of them that cause concussions and issues. Wrestling can't be allowed. Anything.
A lot of concussions in soccer.
I think it's the
from
most
headers
actually.
And colliding, trying to go for a header.
Right.
You know. So.
But those are like the vocal minority. I think most people are reasonable and like football.
Right.
You know, think it's okay if it's played responsibly, if there's proper medical attention, proper awareness, proper diagnosis and everything. I think the people that just say get rid of football is, you know, like a decimal percentage.
You know, and I also think the more I think about it, I've always said this, but the more I think about it, I'm happy about all the rule changes that the league has made about the kill shots and the hitting with the head and spearing and launching. I think they really needed to do that because, you know, what the guys in the NFL do is watched by the high school kids and it's watched by the Pop Warner kids. And if that's the way they play the game, it's going to try to be emulated. And I'm glad that they're trying to change that. You know, sure. I think they needed to. And like I've always said, just look for the guy's arms in front of him. If he's not doing that, then he's not trying to tackle the guy. He's just trying to hit him, you know?
Yeah, I don't always agree with you on that.
Yeah. I know, but.
No, the arms in front, I mean, that's not always. I
no,
mean,
but at least it's
like
an
how
indication.
How do you go down and make a tackle? Like this. I mean.
Yeah, that's how you do it. You wrap them up.
All right. And you, no, when you he runs through your arms.
You hit a guy with your shoulder.
Right. But with your arms, you know, boom.
Oh, not in front of you. If you go running like this.
You have your arms out.
I can take the rest of you.
Yeah, some guys, like, their arms are, like, folded at their chest.
No, but that's
like
different.
Right.
That's
those
different.
Are the right. Brandon Merriweathers.
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Those would be my old example of unnecessary roughness.
You know it
stupid
when you
play.
See it.
Right. I'm just throwing a flag because you're a moron.
Right. And I'm glad that they're throwing flags for those plays.
Yeah, but it's gone too far.
Yeah, see, I don't think it's gone too
sometimes
far.
You,
yeah, I do.
Sometimes you have to in order to get back to the
go
middle.
Past the line to get make sure you achieve the line and
right.
all that.
Now, generally what they do is they like to do that like in the preseason. And early, they call everything. It's
right.
like every time they have like the NHL, they always institute new rules, you know, the clutching and grabbing. And all of a sudden, you know, there's 30 penalties called on each team mm-hmm. in the preseason. And then by the time you get into the regular season, the players figure out how they're supposed to do it. And the referees will get a little bit more lenient. They need to do that. Andy's right in that there are too many calls, I think. I think right now the rule of thumb, it seems to be with the referees on those hits to quote-unquote defenseless receivers is when in doubt, throw a flag. And I don't think that should be the way it is. I think they should call what they see. And I'm sure that they would never say that when in doubt, I throw the flag.
I actually think the quarterback generally bothers me more than the
quarterbacks
the
to me, because I don't think that's as anywhere near as vulnerable as the receivers.
I mean, I'll be honest
to injury,
with you,
I'm
the
saying.
Old Terrell Suggs, Tom Brady, I dove past his knee and he was bitching for that. There's no place in the game for that for me from the quarterback perspective, that a guy was near your knee and you're asking for a flag. There's no place in the game.
Anybody have
sport.
Any idea what's on NFL Network behind Steve Mariucci in this live shot, like what these colored like skeleton
well,
kind of people are?
He's at the Chicago game, right? Is that where he's doing the broadcast?
Probably like
talking
sculpture
about the broadcast.
It's
probably in that Grant Park. Yeah, I would imagine.
But what are they?
They look like kids.
Yeah, I think
like little
they
kids.
Look like
they're
figures.
Sad. They're
they do look sad.
Some
their heads
are
hanging.
Their heads
low.
Are bowed, but they're colorful. Maybe it's a multicultural thing.
Okay.
Locker room
just
was quiet,
curious.
By the way, in case you wondered.
Oh,
locker
yeah?
room
very,
was quiet.
Very quiet.
How quiet was it?
Well, so quiet that the person I went to see never appeared. And
yeah,
Rob Gronkowski
sorry
got
that,
the
Andy.
Early hook, probably eight
Two
questions
in. Yeah.
I mean, it was.
Was he early or late in the period?
Early. Pretty early.
Very early.
First 15 minutes, probably.
Was Sal Pal there?
No. No Sal Pal.
No harumphing today?
I had a nice discussion about burgers with Julian Edelman, who I would say was as happy and personable in that locker room period as I've ever seen him.
I would go so far
so
as
much
to say chipper.
To the point where I said, Eric, I think he signed a 3-year extension or something.
I was just going to say.
And I said, Andy like, should go up to him and jokingly say, oh, you're in a great mood. Would you sign an extension? And then have him go like,
I mean,
yeah.
It's not.
You had a conversation with him?
With Edelman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know I don't really care for him.
I love Dick.
I wasn't going to say the rest of it.
But no, well. He walked in out of the equipment room while Gronkowski was going, and he apparently said, you know, pie face.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's
then
right.
He's
that
like,
was weird.
No laugh.
While Gronk was talking.
Baseball.
Oh, I see. No, yeah. Throw a pie in his face.
And I was like, what? And the champagne. He's like, what? Nothing? You guys don't get, you don't laugh? I was like, not exactly the type of locker room you people created around here.
He did.
And he went in the training room. Then when he came back out, I talked burgers with him, but he was very, like, excited.
You talked burgers with him?
Yeah. RFO Sullivan's.
Oh, that's right. We knew that he goes there, right?
Where
but
was that?
Then
in
it got
Dartmouth?
All technical.
Somerville.
Somerville.
Awesome.
He got all technical.
Andy brought me there.
Well,
once.
I really have three categories. I have the pub burgers, you have the fast food burgers, and then you have the upscale burgers. And he went through this whole thing, and he started rattling.
What was his best fast food?
In-N-Out, but Five Guys is competitive.
And what's his best
I would agree with
gourmet
that.
Burger?
I would agree with
gourmet
that.
Gourmet.
Upscale, whatever he used for the term.
Like Red Robin?
Did he mention Davio's?
No. I mean, I brought up Davio's, and he was like, it's okay, whatever.
I don't know if I've ever had a burger from Davio's.
Davio's is pretty good.
It's good.
The Oak Room?
Oh, yeah. That's in Boston. It's at the...
He mentioned that one and one other
I don't
that
think I've
I
ever
haven't
been, to the Oak Room
been to.
It's at the hotel right there, the old hotel. What's the name? And the Copley Plaza.
It's at the hotel in Boston.
It's inside
you know,
the Copley Plaza, the Oak Room.
Yeah, really I haven't been to the Copley in a long time.
Yeah, he was
either. He
was joking around with
everybody. Sent a woman, remember?
I'm telling you.
Going to the
Oak Room. Deal.
Okay.
All right.
That's just so, like, random to me. So odd.
And then another case where a guy was walking through just covering his private parts.
Oh,
which
that's
really
so uncomfortable.
Disturbs
you got to tell Chris Price to stop.
Good.
You
friend.
Should know I got a little wiener. But there were very
Andy
few.
Andy could do it easily. He could just use one hand. Cause,
you should know I got a little wiener.
Just use
well, but McCourty, Gronkowski,
yes,
Chandler Jones late, which they actually started after Aaron made the announcement the locker room
actually,
was over.
That's true. Aaron said, all right, that's it, guys. And then Chandler Jones turned around in his locker, and everyone can.
They were very, 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 very few
well,
players.
Well, did Gronk say anything of note?
Check the tweets from the last 4 weeks, because that's.
Yeah, day by day. Nothing's really changed.
Did you guys get
to
it?
The max of my abilities.
So nothing really
Although,
changed.
Well,
but so
he
you
said,
don't get any better.
He actually said that.
Except
nothing's changed.
Then the next answer was, I'm getting better every day. So
this
something
medical,
has changed.
This medical clearance came up, didn't come up at all?
No, I was going to actually ask, and then I didn't know if I should.
No one asked him that?
No.
He did get the quick hook, but no
he
one
did,
asked.
He did, but oh that was God. That should have been like one of the first questions.
Check.
Paul, I think That's we're the I only ones that read.
I'm also the only one that cares, I think. I think this show is the only people that care about this team.
It's unbelievable. Eric, how about practice? Someone was missing who I'm a little concerned about.
Jamie Collins, your guy, yes.
Yeah.
Michael Buchanan, not injury-related yesterday, was back on the field, but still three missing because Jamie Collins was not there. Washington.
They must have heard us talking about him yesterday and said, let's pull him.
Yeah, that's it.
It's weird. It's
and Tommy Kelly is still okay, but not practicing.
Well, yeah.
He said he was going to be okay.
He said so, but
he's
also
Tommy Kelly.
He wasn't out there. Jamie Collins also wasn't on yesterday's injury
Check.
Report.
Right.
So that's even.
Maybe he got hurt in practice yesterday.
He would have been on the injury report.
Or maybe. If he had.
That's true.
Or maybe it was not injury related today.
That's so that's
true.
You have to hope that it's
that's
not
a very
injury
good point.
Related.
Maybe they're going down rookie days off. Cannon yesterday,
right.
Collins today.
No, but that's. I mean, yeah, you would. Stand to well, maybe he just aggravated something and it cropped up this morning.
Mm. Or, you know,
it
could
been
be anything.
Sick,
could
slept wrong.
Could have woke up sick or something. Yep. All right. So that fills us in with.
One quick thing about practice, too. This was for all of us to see in the media. We were standing at the bottom of the stairs of, on the outside stairs going up to the practice field. And Shane Vereen and Armin Armstead came out together.
Oh, Armin Armstead.
Yes, not arm in arm.
No.
But they did come out together.
Yeah.
And the first time I've seen Armstead in
yeah.
I don't know how long. And Vereen, the first time we've seen him since he got hurt in week one.
And then Armstead
was in
the locker room.
Vereen we knew was still alive. I had my doubts about Armin Armstead. Well, I don't know where the hell he was.
And he was very conspicuous in the locker room.
Big
today,
smile,
too.
Can't talk,
well,
but
that's
big smile.
Great. Good stuff.
Now next week, Freddie, is the
He's
first
back. Ridley scared the hell
and Armstead.
Out of him, but, well, Armstead's back. And
Ridley and Armstead. Who knew those were the difference makers?
MetLife, baby.
I do think it's more than a coincidence that we saw Armstead today, because next week is the first week that PUP or NFI guys can begin practicing if the team so chooses.
Right.
So maybe by letting him go out there in front of us when they knew we were all there, maybe there's something to that, maybe not. But it's just kind of more than a coincidence, I think, that we were standing there waiting to go out to practice and these two guys come waltzing through. So.
Oh, that's great.
I did,
it is.
I did
aren't you glad that he's back?
Yes.
Yeah.
I had him as my number 21 ranked player.
I did talk briefly to Vereen yesterday outside of the locker room, but
I don't think that's allowed.
Not anything.
Are you saying that's why he's back? Because you talked to him? Or?
No, because I'm saying that I had seen Vereen yesterday.
Okay.
Seen Vereen.
So we're saying that he took his life with an upgraded pistol.
Did you guys compare receding hairlines?
All right. It's time for
it's not
picks.
Not quite as embarrassing for me as it is for him.
It's time for picks, as we do every week. There we go. As we do every week, we go around the NFL and we do our picks. And, Paul, let us know what happened last week.
Well, there's a new sheriff in town.
Who would that be?
His name is Fred Kirsch.
Wow.
Short.
There's a new boss, same as the old boss, as they say.
Yeah. Yep. Freddie didn't necessarily light it up last week. Overall, but
it was a tough week. My lock of the week didn't come through.
But with
Dallas.
The spread, another tough week all around. Eric, you win the week with the picks at 9-5.
Okay.
Fred was 8-6. Andy was 7-7. I was 6-8. Pathetic.
I think is better than you were in the paper by a game.
I think I was 6-8 in the paper too. Maybe 5-9. With the number, as they say in Everett, Fred, 9-5.
Ooh, that's really good, Fred.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Especially for him.
Eric, 7-7. Andy, 5-9. Paul, 4-10.
Ooh.
Tough week for me.
Taking it up the rear.
So now, the new leader in both categories is none other than Fred Kirsch.
That's right.
48-29. The rest of us are 47-30.
Oh, tight race, though.
Proving once again what a year it is. It's just weird. Everybody
Fred
sucks.
Is doing his celebratory...
But yeah, here's
what is
where,
politician wave.
Here's where the impressive part comes in, though. You guys are going to have to represent here. You got to give him his props. 42-31-4.
That's very
that's
good.
A pretty good number through 5 weeks.
That's very good. I'm impressed.
With and the I'll be number, hanging it up now.
With the spread.
Wow.
With the spread.
He's away.
11 games over 500
no
with the spread. That's pretty good. Eric is next at 37-36-4. Andy's 36-37-4. And I am in last place. 34-39-4. No complaints about who's keeping the book this week, I see.
Well, we have this guy.
And by the way, his
in.
Numbers are wrong.
Yeah, his numbers are wrong.
Who?
Yeah,
that guy screwed me out of a week or something.
Andy's very much on board with the guy's numbers are wrong now because they shorted him a couple of wins.
Yeah, Steve Johnson has been
emailing
Johnson, us.
The guy from the Buffalo Bills.
What does he have for wins for everybody?
Let's see. I'm going to open this up here.
Manually, apparently. Like... Click on it.
I am. It's not nothing's happening.
Pretty sure he had Andy with like 44 or 45 wins.
Oh, it's opening up Excel.
Because it's in Excel.
Okay, so he's got. It doesn't have the actual.
Yes, it does.
Oh yeah, I'm 48.
Gotta hurry.
And 42, here. Number one. Paul is 47-34.
Those two are correct.
Andy is 45-32.
Those are way off.
That's ridiculous.
Eric is 47-37.
Oh, Eric's all right. It's just yours that are off.
It's so ridiculous.
And he says he himself is 50-38.
Yeah. Of course he is.
He keeps the book.
Johnson.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I got this all wrong.
I'm not surprised.
He just has wins.
Yes.
Wins.
Yes.
So I have
wins.
48.
Yes,
those
wins.
Are wins.
Yes.
Those are the right win totals.
But the second number I
is
gave
is the
you...
wins for the spread.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right.
I got it.
Oh, okay. I was looking at wins losses.
So how long are we going here?
Yeah. So I'm winning both. That's all. That's all that matters.
Yes, that is accurate. But he has shorted Andy a few wins. So not surprisingly, Andy up in arms
Fred, you're
about
have
the
to
other
hurry
guy
now.
I know.
Good thing we have bye weeks this week.
Right.
Really, only one.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Let me get back to this.
Oh, look at if I had known this was going to throw you all a flutter, I wouldn't have brought it up.
All right. Tonight, the Giants at Chicago.
Chicago by 7.5.
Chicago is 7.5.
When should become WC Fields?
I know why.
I'm going to take the
throw another interception.
Giants to get off the schneid.
Really?
I just don't trust the Bears ever. And sooner or later, don't the Giants have to win a game and not F up all the time?
Maybe. But I don't think it's this week. I've bought the Giants enough this year. They've screwed me too many times. I'll go with Cutler and the Bears at home.
Yeah, I agree with Andy that sooner or later they have to win, but I'm cutting ties, and I'm going to have to put them in, like, Raiders-Jacksonville territory. They will win their games, and I'll lose those picks that week.
Yeah,
I'm going to pick the Bears. The Giants are just turning it over too much.
I'm picking the Bears, too, but I think the Giants managed to
points?
Cover.
Okay.
Yeah, I was toying with the idea of taking that, half point, but they get blown out every week, so I couldn't even do that.
Sunday
at
1.
They got blowed out.
Green Bay at Baltimore.
Green Bay by 2.
It's a good game.
Green Bay by 2.
I think it's two teams that, not playing like I think they should. I can't take Baltimore. I don't like Baltimore. I hate Joe Flacco. I'll take the Packers and Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to the home
team.
Hates
Joe Flacco, but he's going to take Aaron Rodgers. Biggest flaming douche in the whole league.
Wow.
Different kinds of douche, but at least that douche can play. I'll take the douche who can play.
Same amount of Super Bowls.
I'm gonna go with the home team here, Paul.
Mister, it's not only about the Super Bowls is now saying it's only about the Super Bowls.
I learned it from watching Bill. That's all I can tell you. My criteria at the given time. I learned it from watching Bill. Who are you taking?
The home team.
Baltimore. I will take Green Bay. I think they are a better team and not enough weapons for Baltimore. They need Jacoby Jones back. Is he coming back? No, don't look it up. I'll take Green Bay.
I'm taking Green Bay as well.
What do you think of that 30 for 30, Paul?
No Mas. Yeah, I like to watch that one. I have to watch the ABA one, too.
That was good. It was all about Marvin Barnes.
The spirit.
Cincinnati at Buffalo.
Cincinnati by 7.5.
I'll take Cincinnati to win and cover. I don't think the Thad Lewis era starts well.
I don't either. I'll take Cincinnati to win and
Fred
cover.
Fred doesn't know who Thad Lewis
is. You know what? But it's funny that you said that. I was going to take Cincinnati to win the game anyway, but I was definitely going to take the points, and I thought the spread was kind of high, but I forgot about that. I will lay the points in the Thad Lewis era.
In the past, this would be the game where I'd pick Buffalo at home, you know, and I always think they're a tough team, but they're not going to score anything.
Learn your lesson.
But, you know,
despite the fact that they go 2-6 at home every year.
But here's what will make Patriots fans truly jump off the ledge if Buffalo has a good offensive day against the Bengals. Yeah. Then
with Thad Lewis, especially with the fourth-string quarterback playing.
People will freak out. So you better hope that
Cincinnati really
squashes Buffalo. Detroit at Cleveland.
Where's Detroit?
I was watching the game the other night at Al Michaels, and he mentioned Cleveland. It was like just guy going up for field goal, and he said the word Cleveland. Even then, he said Cleveland.
Yes, it was Phil Dawson. The longtime kicker of Cleveland.
Cleveland.
He absolutely said it was before we left.
Right.
Detroit.
2.5.
Phil Dawson, originally a Patriot.
Although Calvin Johnson's still dead.
He practiced today.
Yeah. On a very limited basis, what I saw.
Oh, okay.
Did not even take part in, like, drills. Basically warmed up.
Okay.
Well, that's really all I got.
Okay. Detroit.
They're going to...
Yeah, but Cleveland blows, so it doesn't matter.
They're gonna,
What's the number here, Paul?
2.5.
2.5.
Detroit is another one of these teams that screws me, but I'm going to...
Boy, you get screwed a lot.
Yeah, I do.
Ironic, don't you think?
Yeah.
I'm going to take...
Yes, Andy, and everybody knows what you're talking about.
I am going to take Cleveland at home.
What happened to the old HR rule? Or HL rule?
HL rule?
Oh, yeah, that is true. That
is
a violation.
That is true. That's a violation.
What's the HL rule?
Hard luck.
No.
That's a colleague. Initials.
We can't talk
about that. Ixnay on the L. Hay.
Okay, I don't know what that means.
I don't know what it is.
It's our colleagues on initials.
I can be.
Andy has one.
Move on.
I can go Ixnay. I have no idea who we're talking about. Cleveland, Fred. I'm taking.
I'm gonna take Detroit.
Why?
I don't know.
I just don't trust Detroit on the road.
Sunday at 1, St. Louis at Houston.
But you trust Cleveland anywhere?
St. Louis at Houston.
3-2. Detroit's 3-2.
The quarterback blows.
St. Louis and Houston. Houston by 7.5.
Where is it?
Houston.
Houston.
I'll take Houston, I guess. But this could be another bad game.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That's a good defensive line. You know, Robert Quinn, the best defensive end in football, according to Pro Football Focus, the way he's playing early in the year. They could get after and make life tough on
Mr.
Schaub. Yeah. But I just can't pick the Rams on the road.
Yeah, I agree. The Texans have to start turning things around at some point, don't they?
How many teams are we going to say that with?
It's all about Matt Schaub.
It's awful tough
the team
when
has played
your own
well.
Head coach says, yeah, I'm starting you, but it was a real tough decision.
Yeah, it's a crossroads game for Matt Schaub. It's as simple as
despicable
that.
Despicable of the Houston fans, by the way.
Yeah.
Actually, that
was overblown.
One guy.
Yeah, one guy took a picture. It was not
that
what was it was first.
It wasn't a mob.
You read it on Pro Football Talk, I'm sure, and it was wrong.
No, actually, I saw it on ESPN, I think.
Oh. Yeah, the Houston police actually went and tweeted and said it was one person.
Oh. Taking pictures.
Yeah.
Like, not even.
That was it. It wasn't. You know.
Accosted was the word I saw.
Right.
Ridiculous. Sensationalistic, inaccurate journalism.
I'm going to take
Very
Houston.
And Pro Football Talk had it first?
Probably. They're usually first and wrongest.
made it up first?
I think Houston is still playing pretty well as a team, but you can't overcome your quarterback just handing 7 points every week to the other team.
Oh, it hasn't been every week.
Yeah, only the last four.
Four in a row.
You lie, it's been five, so.
Their defense has still played pretty well. I think they've run the ball reasonably well. They just need better play from the quarterback. I think they get a little bit better, and I'll take Houston this week.
You remember when Paul wanted to trade Brady for Schaub?
No.
I'm going to take Houston
Stafford.
As well, but
if you're going to make fun of me, Stafford's the guy.
You also considered Schaub, though.
But Stafford's the guy I said definitively yes about.
Yeah, but Stafford's not, you know,
like
one step
thinking
away
about different guys is not worthy of making fun of.
Now,
Stafford, I loved Stafford.
I'm gonna
I still like
very,
him.
Very, very tentatively take Houston in this game.
Yeah, I agree with you, Fred. I don't have a lot of faith in that pick.
It's amazing how that AFC South is once again now the Colts. You know?
Yeah.
It's their division.
It is 1 year.
Yeah. 1 year.
Yep.
Well, 2 years, actually.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know,
they had the year where they had a suck
right.
for luck.
And then
they
last
get him
year.
Back, and now they've got it right back. Yep. Oakland at Kansas City, Sunday at 1.
Kansas City by 9.
I am going to take the Chiefs to win.
Yes.
But I am going to take those points. That's a big spread. Terrell Pryor's playing, correct? No re-injury
know.
There. Okay.
Heard something about he's getting set during his bye week to go see Tommy House.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, good.
Brady's
one
guy.
Of those guys?
Really worked out for Brady.
Uh-oh.
Touche.
I kind of, I have a funny feeling that Oakland's going to keep it close in KC. So I'll take the Chiefs to win, but I'll take the number two.
Yeah, call me a non-believer with Kansas
I'm taking
City.
I'll
take Kansas City to win the game, but... I will take the points like the other boys.
What's the number?
Nine.
I'm going to take the Chiefs just because they're doing it with their defense. And, you know, they could win this game 17-3 and then they cover, you know, so.
That would be more than nine.
12-0.
Right.
10-0. 21-4.
9.5-0.
You know,
would
so.
Would get it done.
Fred Kirsch.
So you're laying
math.
You're laying the points. Kansas City, you're laying the points?
Yeah.
Did you hear 17-3? They'd cover.
Well, I just thought that was an example of a score that would mean Kansas City covered.
Any other scores come to mind when you think?
No, I'm just saying that's a score where you look at it and go, oh, they didn't dominate. But yeah, they probably did. They totally squashed the other offense.
I mean, they could win 48-28. That would be a
it's
cover.
True.
Carolina at Minnesota. Carolina at Minnesota.
Minnesota by 2.5.
I am going to take Minnesota just because they're at home. That's it.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Guess who's tied for third in points allowed in the NFL with the Patriots?
I thought the Patriots were second.
No.
I thought they were second, too.
I think they
they're
are.
Not. They're tied for third.
Did you not read the right stat?
The Panthers.
Panthers, yeah.
Panthers have a good defense.
I don't think you're right, Fred.
Ponder playing in this
you
game?
You want to bet a lunch on it?
Don't know.
No.
Oh, you're such a.
I will take
Ponder playing in this game.
Well, he's thinking about it.
Never bet lunches with Andy. Fry.
You know what?
Oh,
Paul,
shut up!
give me the Panthers in the upset.
Yes, I will take the Panthers as well. Although this would be like the fifth time in a row I take the Panthers and they lose.
Rude.
What are you going to do?
Yeah.
It was my surprise team, and they've gone down the toilet.
What's going on with Minnesota's court? The Castle going to start?
I'm glad you listened to our conversation. I have no idea who's starting.
I'm going to go with Minnesota because I think Castle's starting. I think he's going to win again.
Showing our show prep, we don't know who's playing quarterback for one of the teams in the National Football. I mean, there's only 32 teams. You'd think you'd know who's starting a quarterback.
Not
for
even
all
32
of
this week, right? Because no, there's right.
30. We'll, only 30 this week.
Pittsburgh at the Jets. Pittsburgh at the Jets.
Oh, boy.
The Jets are a stunning favorite by two.
I can't do it.
What was that?
Well, the Jets have a good defense. I mean, I got to give that to them. And the Steelers don't have a good offense. So it's going to be a low-scoring game. But I'll take the Jets. Right?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, this game, in my opinion, is probably going to swing on just one or two plays.
This could be a 10-9 game.
The Jets are playing better right now. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
Right.
But I also have no faith in Geno Smith. That wasn't what I think Geno Smith is going to be.
No, the week before against Tennessee was just as likely.
Do you think Geno Smith's going to be an NFL quarterback, a good one?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
I don't Lunch coming back up on you for that.
A little bit.
By the way, he liked his sandwich from Grande today.
I did.
They make a good Italian over
there. I got an Italian toasted.
They make a good Italian over there.
Paul, I will take the Steelers. I can't see them going winless through all these weeks.
Picking Roethlisberger, are you?
I am.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh, too, just because I think they're a better team. But, man.
I know. It's tough.
Everything Andy said is exactly true. It's a bad offense playing against the good defense, but I think the Jets have a bad offense playing against a good defense, too.
And this is why Andy is last always every year. It is going to be Pittsburgh that wins this game.
I'm not last every year.
You pretty much are.
I win a lot.
No. You're last every year.
He's not true. He doesn't know who's playing
quarterback. You have no sense of the NFL. You really don't. Philadelphia at
Thad Lewis, the first time he ever heard the name was when I said it.
Here we go.
He's going to be in the corner lashing out at you in a second.
He can't walk away. Philadelphia at Tampa Bay, Sunday at 1.
Philadelphia by 1.
Oh, two very different coaches with two very different ideas on how to play the game. Neither has a quarterback.
Can we go with that? Is Vic playing?
Well,
Foles looked pretty good
you
last
sure?
week.
Yeah. He practiced.
Oh, I was pretty sure he's not playing. I thought Foles was starting this week.
Yeah, I think that's up in the air now.
I'm taking the Eagles. I don't care. I think Tampa sucks, and it won't be another win by Glennon.
Yeah, I agree. I'll take the Eagles no matter who starts.
Do you know Eric Decker has a smoking wife?
I did not know that.
Big surprise.
I will take the Eagles as well. I think they are a far better team, although I think they stink. No. So you take do that with what you would.
Funny, it seems like the league stinks.
I'm going to take the Eagles as well.
Oh, you agree with me now.
I never disagreed with you.
Ooh, Andy thinks everything stinks.
That's part of the reason I picked them to go 12-4.
No, that was all about
it. One of the things that contributes to the league maybe not being as good as you think it should be is they have no patience with coaching staff.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's one of them.
And I think Bill Belichick agrees with me. Yeah. The tonality of his discussion last week about longevity in the NFL, he really, you know, you got a guy like, you know, he's in there a season and a half and they make a change. And, you know, I think that was also about Josh McDaniels. I think that was a little shot at
Denver
Broncos.
I don't know if you know, but Josh was in there for about a year and a half.
Yeah, there's no doubt the urgency with coaches and quarterbacks, the two most key positions with franchises is what is ruining this league.
Yeah,
no question.
And I think, you know, people always say
unfortunately, it gets validated often enough by a Luck and a Wilson that the payoff is there and there's going to be that lore.
Well, I think a lot of people say that, you know, well, there's just not enough good quarterbacks. There aren't 32 good quarterbacks.
I tend to agree with that, too.
No, listen, I don't think there are
32. There's also not 32 good corners, and you match that up, and you got a lot of passing.
But I think there are, whatever you want to say the amount of good quarterbacks are, I think there are fewer good head coaches. And I think that stems from that whole point. They don't let you, you know, get going. I don't think they're very good. I think there's a lot of coaches in this league, and I know, Andy.
Look at Belichick. He had 5 years in Cleveland. He had a losing year here.
He would not have had I'll guarantee you he would not have had that chance if he had his first year right now. He would not have probably have gotten this to where he is because of the climate now. But your whole thing about
climate warming, global warming.
No, global warming, yeah.
The whole thing that you always say about you when we go to the combine, you know, like that guy, no chance. How many guys do you really – you've said that about a lot of different guys.
And I'm always right.
Well, your odds of being right on those things are pretty good.
Because most of them wash out.
We got to hurry.
We don't have to hurry.
We do.
We really don't because we don't have to stop at 2. No, we don't.
No, we don't. Who?
We got Tom Brenneman.
Tom Brenneman's coming on with the playbook.
With the porn stash?
Thumb.
All right, so we got to hurry. Did I tell you I wanted Philly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We go to 4 o'clock, 4:05.
We got to hurry. You can't take your call. We got to hurry.
Tennessee is at Seattle.
No. Jacksonville is at Denver.
Denver by 27.
27,
according to the Herald. That's what we got.
Is that a record?
Yeah.
I will take Denver to win and cover.
Oh.
This situation, an undefeated team versus a winless team in this situation, I forgot, is like undefeated against the spread since 1990. Spread wasn't as big as 28.
So 1-0 against 0-1, or is it like a certain, you know, at a certain time of the year?
I don't know.
I'm just wondering.
I bet you the Broncos purposely take their foot off the gas.
I think so too. That's what worries me.
So I say Broncos win, but Jags cover.
The Jags are really bad.
I know.
Yeah, they are really bad. I am going to take the points though. 27 is too many points. I don't think there's a lot of games that a team wins by 28 points in the NFL. I will take the points. And I also am a little concerned about the health situation on the Denver defense. They're missing a lot of starters.
Yeah. Luckily, it doesn't matter.
It won't matter this week, but it will matter eventually.
I'm with Paul, and I think that Denver, you know, takes their foot off the gas in the second half.
That's what worries me.
Yeah, Osweiler could be playing the whole fourth quarter like he did against
Philadelphia. I'll take the points as well. Tennessee at Seattle. Now we can talk about Tennessee at Seattle.
Seattle by 13.5.
Seattle will win. Seattle will cover.
In Seattle. Makes a big difference.
Massive difference. All the difference in the world.
Yeah. Fitzpatrick at QB in Tennessee.
Sucks.
Yeah. All right. I'll go Seattle both ways.
Smell a knockout pick. Seattle.
Yes.
Big.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Seattle as well both ways. All right. We'll skip over the New Orleans at New England.
Paul, skip over that for us, please.
Arizona at San Francisco. Still Sunday 4:25. Arizona at San Francisco. We're all picking the 49ers.
San Fran by 11.
Yeah, I got the Niners. Win and cover.
By how much?
11.
Niners to win, cards to cover.
I agree with Eric. Niners to win,
too.
Arizona to cover.
Oh, big week for Andy. Big week for Andy. I feel it.
Did you ever notice that Andy says that every single week that he's the lone one, and yet somehow he does not win every week?
You guys don't pay attention.
Sunday, 8:30, Washington at Dallas.
Steve is paying attention.
Can Dallas
by 5.5
from that brutal loss?
Yes, Dallas will bounce back and bounce back big. They're going to blow the Redskins out.
Okay.
I don't know about blowout, but more than 5.5.
I will take Washington to not only cover, but to win the game outright.
Well.
Because the Skins own the Cowboys.
Andy's having a big week.
What do you got?
I also picked the Cowboys.
Yeah, but I don't know.
What do you got?
Oh, I got the Dallas Cowboys to bounce back and win and cover. Monday night, Indianapolis at San Diego, 8:40.
Indy by 1.5.
Indy by 1.5?
Wow.
Indy's a better just football team. Solid football team. I'll take Indy on the road to win. Cover.
Who's the better baseball team?
Your mother.
That
makes a lot of sense.
Wow.
Because she bats around. No.
Yeah, the Chargers are...
makes even less sense.
The Chargers are turning out to be more like the team that we saw in week one that looks good initially, and then midseason they start to tank. So I think this week we're going to have to tell them to...
go yourself, San Diego.
And pick the Colts.
Because they're not the real McCoy.
I will take the Colts as well for the same reason that Andy did. I think they're a better football team.
They're in the National Football League. They got a good program out there in Indy.
I'll take the Colts as well. All right, now we go back.
And somewhat surprisingly, before 2 o'clock, we have made it through all the picks. Like
only
we always do.
Because we hurried.
Like we always do.
It's 1:59. Sunday 4:25, New Orleans at New England. What's the number?
Pat Rotz by 2.5.
Patriots by 2.5.
I think the New Orleans Saints are going to come to town and win this football game. I think it's a bad matchup for the Patriots with Jimmy Graham and Darren Sproles.
Yep.
I just don't know how they're going to shut him down. And even if Tlaib matches up, I'm not sure it's a natural matchup for him. And I think he could still have some trouble with the tight end who's athletic, who's tall, he's a playmaker, can catch the ball. And bottom line is Patriots offense just has nothing to offer right now, especially if Rob Gronkowski doesn't play. But even if he plays and has 8 catches, 130 yards, and 2 touchdowns,
boy,
they still lose.
You're asking a lot. The Saints will come marching in and win
the game. Bum, bum, bum,
and it's going to be it could be even uglier than last week.
I will take the Patriots to win the game.
Vagina.
Sorry.
Wow.
I feel like they are going to run the football against the defense that is pressure-oriented and is susceptible a little bit to the run. I think that keeps the Saints offense on the sideline, because I agree with Andy and Eric. I don't think the Patriots have the personnel to match up, but they can keep the score down by being a little more successful on offense. Offense will be the key this week. 27-24 pass.
Paul,
27 points.
I like this change in you taking the Patriots. I
just tired of getting yelled at for not taking them.
Exactly. See, I knew that he's only taking them because he's.
Oh, they put it up when I pick against them.
Could he pick against the Pats 2 weeks in a row? Here it is, right here.
The Patriots.
NCAA. No chance at all.
Before you pick, are you mentally prepared to lose?
Yes.
Okay. Now pick.
The Patriots need me this week, and I'm there for them.
They could use a fire hydrant defensive tackle.
I am there for them. So Patriots win this game. The loud Gillette Stadium crowd gives
Drew
Brees problems.
No, you're just being an idiot.
All right.
I'll whip them up for you, Fred.
John, I'd ask you for a pick, but I think you think the Patriots should just suspend operations and call it a season.
Well, no, if Mallett plays, maybe they got a chance.
I can't hear you.
Bring me up. There we go. Actually, I feel differently this week, believe it or not.
Why?
Jets
what
signed
do mean,
David
why?
Garrard.
Don't I have a right to go from week to week, Fred, and change my opinion? Isn't that what this is all about?
Maybe you had a good time last night with someone of the opposite sex. I don't know. What
Taj Boyd?
Yeah.
Jameis Winston?
Of the opposite sex? No. Yeah. I believe we're same sex. That would be correct.
So, all right.
Different strokes for
John Rooks coming up with
whatever
the playbook.
Works.
I know there's a lot of guests. Tom Brennahan. Right,
Tom Brenneman from Fox Sports will join us. Larry Holder from the New Orleans Times-Picayune will join us.
Lucky pick your own union.
Eric Scalavino from Patriots Football Weekly will join us.
Wow, a lot of negativity in this room.
Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com will join us.
And then Football Nation at 4 o'clock. We'll see you pregame social. What time on Sunday?
2 o'clock. Deuce.
So join that, and we'll see you next Tuesday.
Brady pitching a 10 back there.
Oh, when they come on Judgment Day, when they come on Judgment Day.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.